across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Just taking my shoes off, as is my wont, for the show. Good evening, dear listeners. This is live. This is live. This is not a recording. This is not a recording, but it will be one day. I'm wearing a headlamp. And I am sitting in a studio. If you want to join me, not literally, give us a call. Speak to you after this.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
This song is dedicated to the World Health Organization. It's a medical song, and it concerns a disease whose classification, according to the International Classification of Diseases, is 302.0.
Sing if you're happy that way.
What can you say, really?
Oh, hang on. Where's that going to?
Oh, we're going to a bootleg of a Monkeys concert. We don't want that. Let's go to first quarter of the night.
Hip, hip, hip.
It's you, Alan.
Hip, hip, hip.
Yeah, but no, you don't. You've done that. You don't need to do it again.
Just confirming that I'm the first caller.
Yes. All right. Don't. No one likes a show off.
Sorry. Anyway, I've got a bunch of big with you, young man.
Oh, have you, old man? Go on then.
What happened to you Friday?
I don't want to say. I couldn't face doing the show, Alan.
I was very hyped up. I had my bar ready to call you at 10 o'clock.
Yes, you were hyped up. Gosh, yes.
I called in on normal, thinking there was going to be a show on.
Yes.
And Ed had to break the bad news to me that there was no show.
There was no show. Do you want to know what I was doing, Alan?
Go on.
I was at home crying.
What happened?
Well, nothing happened. That's it. Nothing happened. You know, just suddenly, the weight of existence crushed my soul on Thursday. Christ knows how I managed to do a show on Thursday, because I spent an hour before the show in my car, in tears, on the phone to the Bloody Samaritans. Did the show. And then Friday, I couldn't face it, Alan. I couldn't face it. And I kind of don't really want to be here tonight, but I think we could all do with a laugh after this weekend, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Couldn't we?
I mean, all the talk radio listeners on the Facebook page wanting you to have a really good show tonight.
Well, they can kiss my... Oh, no, that's a nice thing. No, well, that's good. I believe Angelos even called up on Friday.
Yeah?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Him. And he'd had to tell him there's no show. And I bet he was furious if he understood that.
I wonder if he'll call in tonight to vent his anger.
Probably not. It's been a crappy weekend, hasn't it, Alan?
Yeah, we've got hooligans back in the football.
Yep.
The shootings in America.
Yep.
I mean, not much good news around.
No. It's been a lousy weekend. I mean, really. Is it because it's the Queen's 90th? Have we gone back to the 70s or something? All of their behaviour this weekend is very 70s.
Oh, no.
Terrible.
Who's that heavy breathing?
Who's that heavy breathing?
Not me.
Hang on, I heard a voice. Hang on a minute. Who's that heavy breathing?
Hello, good evening.
Yes, I can hear a heavy breather. Is that you?
Hello, is that Mr. Ian Lee?
Yes, it is, yes.
Hi, my name is David Grolier, Multimedia Encyclopedia, available on CD-ROM.
Yes.
I'm representative of the Wireless Group's legal department.
Okay. Do you want to do this on air, or should we do this off air?
No, I think it's quite important this is done on air. The listeners must hear this.
Okay.
It has been brought to my attention that over the last few nights you have been taking calls from a gentleman claiming to be Noel Edmonds.
Yep. Yes.
Now, Noel Ernest Edmonds has written to us at the legal department. He is extremely...
Hang on a minute. Can I just interrupt you? Sorry, what was your name?
Dave Grolier, Multimedia Encyclopedia, available on CD-ROM.
Okay, Mr. Grolier, Encyclopedia, available on CD-ROM. Alan, could you... Alan?
Yeah?
This is actually quite serious, mate. Could you shut up?
Sorry, my mum opened the kitchen door.
Well, tell her to shut the kitchen door!
I don't know, I have to do everything myself.
Sorry, carry on.
Yes, I believe this is quite a serious matter. I would require you to pay close attention.
I am, yeah.
Okay. Now, Noel Ernest Edmonds, he has a reputation to uphold.
Yeah, well...
Now, he has written to the legal department now, and things have got to quite a destructive stage, shall we say.
Really?
We have put some value on his allegations.
Alan, will you shut up?
I'm calling back.
He's gone. Oh, flipping it. Well, maybe that's for the best. Yeah, sorry, carry on. I do apologise about that.
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Lee, I feel the only thing we can do now is ask you to resign your show with immediate effect.
Really?
I'm afraid so, Mr. Lee.
Oh, jeez.
Mr. Lee?
Okay, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah,
Mr. Lee?
I'll resign.
I have to say, I'm not really Dave Grohl, Multimedia Encyclopedia, available on CD-ROM.
Sorry?
I'm not really.
I heard that bit.
Multimedia Encyclopedia available on CD-ROM.
Who are you then?
Do you know who it is?
No.
Could you guess?
No.
It's not Noel Edmonds. It's Steve Pink. I really wanted to be on the radio. Please let me be on the radio.
Pinky!
I just wanted to be on the radio.
Pinky!
It's me that does
I've told you, Pinky, you're not allowed on proper radio anymore.
But it's
no, Penky.
It's me does the wind up.
No, Penky.
I'm coming for you, Lee.
You're banned, Penky. You're banned. Ever since you reported on a man who was going to jump off a bridge and you played "Jump" by Van Halen, you're banned, Penky. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome to. This is live. We are here this evening, and well, we'll just kind of see what happens, really. I didn't really want to be here tonight, but it's been such a crappy weekend worldwide that I thought, you know, we could all do with a, you know, with a bit of a laugh, couldn't we? Really? So, we will. Yeah. Well, that's what we'll do. Or not, it doesn't matter. 0844 499 1000. Where is Ed? Because I'm indicating to him to go to a break now.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Now, here's a thing, right? By the way, I'm wearing a headlamp. Anyone got a problem with that? If you're watching on Periscope, you'll see I'm wearing a headlamp. If you have a headlamp at home, put them on. The world is a much better place. By the way, you'll never guess who's back on Twitter. Yeah, Dodgepot. She's just sent me another tweet under a fake thing. And you didn't want to be a troll. You didn't want to be a troll. Hey, Kath, what's her face is back on Twitter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just sent me from a fake Twitter account and sent me one earlier on apologising and then sent me one from a fake account. It's a crazy world, guys. And in the great scheme of things, a troll. Thank you. You haven't got a headlamp. Get a headlamp, man. You look good in a headlamp.
Oh,
it would suit you. if you've got a headlamp, it just makes everything so much more exciting, doesn't it? Makes it so much more exciting. I've come up with the next Scott Mills quiz. Why have I come up with quizzes for Scott Mills? I've come with it for me, but he'll steal it. And it's called, Is It Rain or Is It Applause? Huh? Is it rain or is it applause? I have six clips of either rain or applause. And you have to tell me which is which. I think this is... And I thought that The Sound of Silence was a good quiz, as I've just called it, where I picked the silences from song. This is like a million times better than that. I mean, this is infinitely better than that. Kath, sit there. Put your headphones on. Put your mic on. I'm gonna play you one, and you've got to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these are easy because it's like day one of this.
And bearing in mind I'm a professional, I should be able to.
Okay. Well, is this rain or is it applause? Sorry?
Applause.
You're saying applause?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, you would be correct on that one. I'm not going to do any more with you because maybe you'll... Sean?
Hello?
Sean, do you...
Hip, hip,
hip! Hip, hip, hip!
Good evening, sir.
Who'd have thought in 2016 we'd have to be playing Glad to be Gay and the words would be just as relevant as they were 30-odd years ago? Isn't the 40 years ago now? The world's gone nuts. Sean, do you want to play Is It Rain or Applause?
I would love to.
Here we go. Is that rain or is it applause?
With the greatest of respect to Catherine, she's wrong.
Yep.
It's rain.
With the greatest of respect to you, Sean, you're wrong. That was applause.
Oh!
It's applause, of course. Listen. It's applause. So I'm afraid, Sean... You don't proceed to the next round. I've got five. I have to mark that off that I've played that one because I've got five more left. It's an exciting game, isn't it?
It's fantastic. It's the best yet.
The thing is, it takes more preparation for what will ultimately total like 3 minutes of broadcast material. It takes more preparation than anything I've ever done in my life because I've got to find But find applause.
Like anything, you will find that the work you put in reaps dividends. So you keep going.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
it. This is gold.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. That means a lot, Sean.
But on that point, be careful, because I know that I've been told Scott Mills is listening.
Well, Scott Mills, he may be listening. He probably isn't, but his team will be. And they'll, Mr. Mills, we got a new game for you. It's called A Plan of the Rain. I don't like it. It was on the radio last night. I love it. That's how it works.
No. Incidentally, could I point something out?
Yeah, go on.
I called on Friday evening, and the young man that you have answering the telephone, Mr. Ed, is that his name?
The famous Mr. Ed. A horse is a horse, what? of course, and nobody's heard of a horse that talks unless, of course, the horse is called the famous Mr. Ed.
He is a delightfully polite young man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I only spoke to him for 1 minute, but do you credit...
Is that all? Because normally when he's taking calls, he speaks to you about 5 minutes. He'll speak to you longer than I will.
Well, to be honest, I hung up.
Well,
I did hang up. But what a delightful young man. He's a credit to you, Miss Tooling.
Well, he's not my son or anything. Sorry? Yeah, are you wearing a headlamp, Sean?
I'm not, but when I saw, I have to say I'm on Periscope, and when I saw the headgear that you had on, I was tempted to go out and buy one.
Get one. Oh, mate, get them. You can get them in pet. I've had this one, right, about 8 years. My wife bought it for me because I like to read in bed and she likes to sleep in bed. So I would wear this. It is the coolest thing in the world, man. Imagine this, and for a while I would wear this and a captain's hat in bed. Imagine the shenanigans. It's true.
The advantage I can see is that I've got four little ones.
Yep.
So what scares the life out of me is when I get up in the middle of the night and one of them has wandered from the bedroom.
What?
And I open, that's right, and I open the door and it's like something from a horror movie. I'm half asleep.
Yeah.
And there's this freaky little kid in the darkness looking at me. The headlamp would give me a warning.
Well, hang on a minute. Your children just stood in the hallway in the darkness.
Well, they have kind of night terrors. I don't know what it is, but I'll hear a noise, get up, open the door, and there's a kid in the darkness looking at me. It's kind of freaky.
Well, then a headlamp would be perfect. You sleep with it.
Well, precisely. That's the point. I need to have it on me at all times, equipped and ready to go.
I've got the lights off in the studio. Admittedly, it's making my head quite hot, and I don't think I can go the full 3 hours with it. But the great thing is, it's like having a torch, but my hands are free. If you've got a torch, one hand is full, or you put it in your mouth. I've got hands free. Hands free,
but I think I know what the issue is. Is it an LED bulb? Because if you go LED, you won't suffer the headache.
It's LED.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Then you have a problem with a headlamp.
Oh, what? Hang on. Why do I have a problem with what? Because it's giving me a headache. It's my negative attitude.
Did you watch it? Did you see it?
I did. What, Edmonds?
Yeah,
I did see it. And then he posted on Noel.world, his website, he posted the truth. And we know it was the truth because he wrote the truth in capitals. And basically, some poor bloke called Vaughan, who listens to the show, although he hasn't been listening recently because of his negative attitude, it tore him apart. In fact, I tell you what we'll do. I'll read the truth off of Noel Edmonds' website. But the thing that annoyed me more than anything, right? So his website is noel.world.
Yeah.
It should be noels.world. And it really annoyed me that it's noel.world. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Noel World doesn't mean anything. Noel's World? Noels.world? Okay, yeah, I'll buy that. So he immediately lost points. And is it true, right? Someone tweeted me this, and I wasn't really looking at tweets over the weekend, right? Is it true Noel Edmonds will phone up your pets?
Is there a caveat, or is that the question? He will just phone animals.
Someone sent me a screen grab, right? But I don't know if it was genuine, because I wasn't really paying attention to Twitter. But apparently, we'll explore Noel.world after 5:30, right? Apparently, he will phone up your pets and, like, say positive things to them. If he does, right, if he doesn't, fair play. And I apologise. If he does, he is the most insane man walking on the planet at the moment. Surely.
And then what does Edmonds get out of it?
Well, this is what worries me.
Yeah.
I'm concerned as to exactly what Edmonds gets out. He gets the satisfaction of zapping your cat or your rabbit or your hamster.
It's a rabbit, Ian. I have a rabbit.
Well, he zaps your rabbit with positive energy by saying positive things to it. He knows that rabbits don't understand Earth words.
But what
he?
If they do? That's the question.
No, they
what
don't.
If they do?
They don't. Rabbits don't. Rabbits are perhaps the dumbest of all of the pets. And I've had rabbits. I've had two. Don't tell my children that. They think we only had one. We had two rabbits, Benji 1 and Benji 2. Oh, Benji disappeared for 3 months. But look, I found him. Why is he smaller? No, he's been on a diet.
Well, was it the same colour at least?
It was exactly the same colour, and that was the problem because it was
fantastic.
A grey. It was a very specific sort of grey brown colour which you couldn't find anywhere. Then one day I was idly just looking around. Was it Pets R Us, whatever it's called? And I went that him. I'm taking him that one, and I took it back and I went back to the boys. Boys, look who I found, and they looked at the rabbit, they looked at me, looked at the rabbit, looked at me, and the eldest went, "Is that Benji?" I went, "Yes." And he accepted that. I think he knew, but he accepted it. I said, "I found him at the top of the hill." And he went, "Oh, brilliant." And then that one died like 6 months later. Bloody rabbit.
Jeez.
Hate them.
What about fish?
Fish, we can do a list of rubbish pets. Fish are no good either.
Well, I had six. And
you had what?
Month by month, they're just dying. I had six.
Yeah.
Six fish. And they keep dying.
Yeah, they don't last at all. They don't last at all.
Useless. Absolutely useless. At least the rabbit lives, although my condolences for Benji. But for crying out loud, the rabbit at least lives. The fish just perish constantly.
Sean, thank you very much indeed. We're trying to escape from a downer, and we just can't. It's in the vibe. We're talking now about dead fish. Fish don't last at all. They are the worst pets you can have. And it's that thing of you've got the fish in the bag and you've got to put the bag in the water so it gets to the temperature and then you let a little bit of the water kind of mix. Did all of that. And then, like, 2 days later, you have dead fish constantly. And then my cleaner, I'm middle class. Just, I came back one day, right, and the cleaner was in the house and there was another fish in the tank, right, and I was very... You know, I'd put a lot of work into getting these fish a client. I went, "Who put the other fish in there?" The cleaner did. "Well, she's put it in." Yeah, that fish lasted the longest. That fish would not die. I'm trying to get rid of my stick insects because they are just won't die. I'm destroying all of the eggs. They are. Is it hermaphrodite? Is that the word? They're both sexes, I think. Or are they 99% male, but it's the males that have the baby? I don't know. It's so confusing, just as it is in the real world. It's so confusing. But they just constantly... eggs everywhere, eggs. They don't need to have sex to reproduce anyway. So there's just eggs everywhere, right? And I'm really doing my best to get rid of all the eggs. And I'm trying not to feed them. Because I would like them to... I'm the only person that looks after them, right? And I would like to not have to look after them anymore because I think they're disgusting. We've got one stick insect. He's only got two legs left. And I think his friends ate the other four legs. But he can't really move anywhere. 0844-499-1000, by the way. He can't really move anywhere. So I have to act... This is how soppy I am. I have to pick him up and put him on a leaf so he'll eat it. Because he can't get to the leaves. He'll starve. I can't starve the poor sod. I'd like to, but I can't. I thought they grew their legs back. I am not yet witnessing that... God, my mind's got... I tell you what, these pills, I can't remember a word. Words keep falling out of my ears. Instead of falling out of my mouth, the correct place. Miracle, there we go. instead of performing that miracle, he's just staying there with two legs. I'm constantly having to move him around. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio 0844 499 1000.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Let's go and have a look at Noel.world. I've got a mate, right, who you will know, but I will not say his name, who has just filmed a pilot television show with Noel Edmonds that could be like 60 episodes of well-paid work. 60 episodes, right. And he phoned me up the other day and said, why has Noel chosen now to go nuts? 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Well, I'm on Noel World. Where's how do I find? Let's go to the home. I want to find the truth. Has he taken it down? Noel.world. There's a positive formula. He's written a book about how to be positive. I say it will be published very soon because so far I've failed to interest a mainstream publisher. In fact, I will go so far as to say that I've not only experienced rejection, but also suspiciously Oh! He's nuts! I can't... If someone can send me a link to The Truth, please, that Noel speaks, where he disses Vaughan. The fellow's got cancer. I had a heart attack last month. The positivity formula. This is Noel Edmonds' website. In 2005, my book, Positively Happy, was published. Part biographical, it explained why the adoption of cosmic ordering produced a happier, healthier, and more successful lifestyle. Subsequently, many people have thanked me for the advice contained within its pages and the positive influence it's had upon their lives. On the eve of the publication of my follow-up book, The Positivity Formula, I would like to apologise for the fact that I was completely wrong in one of my core beliefs. In my defence, 10 years ago, I believed that it was possible for the human mind to influence and even control our destiny. Hang on a minute. Is he saying that cosmic ordering is a load of bullshine? What? However, after a decade-long research journey, which has taken me along the corridors of every scientific department, what, in primary schools, and delivered me into the wonderful world of quantum physics, I now understand the science that says positivity is a state of body, not a state of mind. Anyway, goes on. The book I hope to publish very soon confirms this to be the case. The science says that by adopting a few simple procedures, almost anyone can tune their body energy system to virtually guarantee a healthier and more positive lifestyle. I say very soon, listen to this. If this is not the ramblings of a paranoid lunatic. I say publish very soon because so far I've failed to interest a mainstream publisher. In fact, I will go so far as to say that I have not only experienced rejection, but also suspiciously deliberate disruption to my ambition to make this positivity formula available to the widest possible global audience. One very well-known publishing house instantly dismissed the book on the basis that I, Noel Edmonds, had no scientific or medical qualifications and was only known as a light entertainment TV presenter. Another described the work as hugely disruptive and likely to shock the audience. Interesting reactions, given that no publisher has actually read the book, and these rejections were on the basis of a very brief synopsis. Here's the thing, Noel. Maybe they didn't want to publish your book. I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to publish your book. Listen to you with your assumed special rights. Just because you're Noel Edmonds. People get rejected from publishers every flipping day, mate. So here we are in 2016. My publishing date is on hold. There is still an outside chance I will find an appreciative and supportive traditional publisher, but I suspect I will end up self-publishing. He's gone Ike. He's gone 85% Ike. If you do your positive thinking, Noel, then surely it will happen, won't it? Right. Can someone find me the link to Noel Edmonds' The Truth, where he tells us the truth? And can someone find me the link where he talks about phoning animals? If he does, please. If he does. 0844 499 1000. Graham's on the line. Evening, Graham.
Good evening, Ian. Hep, hep, hep.
Hep, hep, hep.
How are we tonight?
Not brilliant.
Much the same. Not that you asked, but that's fine. There's no living thing. Do you not think if this positive thinking stuff was genuine, that the house party would still be on telly and we'd all be no daft by this point?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't... It's obviously nonsense, right? And I don't get where Noel's going. The thing that gets me, he can bang on about positivity as much as he wants, right? That doesn't bother me, right? The thing, saying that he's got a box that can tackle cancer, that bothers me a little bit. The thing that really bothers me is him using his place of privilege and his standing in the world of media to attack a bloke called Vaughan who listens to this show and is really, really ill, right? Noel banged on about, well, Vaughan has locked his Twitter page and has changed his Twitter profile and deleted that tweet, right? Here's the thing, newspapers and news outlets. I know why, because Vaughan's emailed me and told me why, right? And if Noel Edmonds would just get off his backside for 1 minute and get off his high horse, right? He did. I'm not going to break Vaughan's confidences. One thing I will say, because I think I'm allowed to say this, on the day that Vaughan sent that tweet, and it was sweary to Noel Edmonds, right? One sweary tweet. Mm-hmm. His cat, his 20-year-old cat, died. Right? As someone who is a cat owner, I would be devastated. I would be upset. I would not want a multimillionaire trying to pick a fight with me online and on in the newspapers.
Exactly. I'm going through a rather embarrassing affliction myself right now, and the very idea that positive thinking would have prevented it, it's just nonsense, and it really grinds my gears, Mr. Lee.
Am I allowed to ask what your situation is?
Something which you can pick up if you're not very sensible, put it that way.
Ay, ay, ay.
You know where I'm going, don't you? You know.
You're going downstairs. Treatable?
Sorry?
Treatable?
Possibly, yes.
Oh, well, as long as it's treatable. Well, yeah, these things... maybe you're a bit too positive in that instance, then.
This is the thing, though. I mean, I don't wish to bring the tone down. Up and down my emotions and things, but I'm trying to keep in a good headspace.
Yeah.
But things like that just bothers me. You can tell he's not dealt with any kind of affliction like that. At least I don't think he has. I haven't done any research. But I don't think it makes the blindest bit of difference whether or not you're thinking positively. You have good days and you have bad days.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Graham. Thank you. And I hope you get some more good days coming your way. So thank you to everyone who sent me The Truth. Noel.world, Twitter exchange, what I actually posted. The nonsense around what I posted on Twitter is now giving too many people the opportunity to ignore the message in their desperation to, quote, shoot the messenger. So I feel it's time to focus on what I actually posted and why. The order of my tweets is exactly as they took place, as distinct from those of Vaughan, who has since deleted the expletive-laden message of hate he aimed at me. He's also now changed his profile. You can draw your own conclusions as to why he's done that. I can tell you why he did it, Noel. He put a picture of his cat up that died that day. His 20-year-old cat, that's why. And he deleted the tweet, I would imagine, and again, I don't know this, but because he felt embarrassed, because he regretted sending the swear word but stood by the initial message, because he didn't like all the attention that you were drawing in his direction. Please note, I did not say it cures cancer. I know, and I picked you up on that. No, you said it tackles cancer. But what does tackles cancer mean? Tackles cancer. Tackles cancer. Tackles cancer implies it in some way doesn't necessarily cure it, but it lessens the cancer. It makes the body better against the cancer. It tackles cancer. I did not say it cures cancer, as I don't believe it cures cancer. I use the term tackles, as that's what it's done for me in my treatment for cancer. Along with other elements of my personal formula, it strengthened me to be able to successfully tackle my cancer. Tweet 4, which is... first of all, tweet 3, which he sends is... have you tried it? Sends that to Vaughan. Tweet 3 is a valid, composed question to the offensive, aggressive response since deleted by Vaughan. I think Vaughan tweeted to him something like, go F yourself. I've tweeted more offensive things to Noel Edmonds than that over the past 3 days. And the reason, and he keeps putting, and I'm not giving out Vaughan's full name, right? He keeps putting his Twitter handle in here. Keeps putting his Twitter handle so people can go and have a look. And there are loonies out there who buy this stuff, because I've blocked a few of the loonies this weekend, right? Don't keep putting Vaughan's Twitter handle, right? He's got cancer, really bad cancer. I think it's kidney cancer. He had a heart attack last month, and you were having a pop at him. Tweet 4, where he says to Vaughan, scientific fact, disease is caused by negative energy. Is it possible your ill health is caused by your negative attitude? To a bloke that's just had a heart attack, he's got really serious cancer, and his cat had died that day. He explains tweet 4. Again, scientific fact. Where is the fact? Disease is caused by negative... What is negative energy, you muppet? What is negative energy? Tweet 4, again, fact. Yes, a subject of much debate, but enough highly qualified medical professionals believe this to be the case to convince me. Please note, the second sentence is a question. That sentence, just to remind you, is it possible your ill health is caused by your negative attitude? Not a statement or accusation as claimed by This Morning and many elements of the media. I wonder why Vaughan, again, gives his full Twitter handle, didn't respond to a perfectly reasonable question in the context of his attack on me. I tell you what, Noel, go F yourself. Now ask me a question. And then there's a bit at the bottom, right, where he goes full Ike. Right? Bit in a big black box. Highlighted text. Listen to how mean this sounds, right? And how threatening this sounds. You fill in the blanks and draw your own conclusions. As a positive man, I loathe involving the legal profession. But now everyone can see exactly what I believe and what I actually posted on Twitter. I would ask media, there's no full stop there, charities, and any other organisations perpetuating the inaccuracies to desist, and in the spirit of the topic, the odd apology wouldn't go amiss. First sentence. Well, it's all one sentence. There's no full stops. As a positive man, I loathe involving the legal profession. Who's he threatening there? Is he threatening me? Is he threatening Philip Schofield? Is he threatening you? I make up. He's having another pop at Vaughan. And threatening Vaughan. Bloke who's got really bad cancer, had a heart attack last month, and his cat of 20 years died on the day that he sent those tweets, right? Vaughan might come on the show at some point, and I there's no pressure at all, right? And what he's told me, apart from the cat thing, which I think I've been able to share, what he's told me in those emails is private, and it's between me and him, right? And I'm not going to share those. But one thing I can share, right, is that he is petrified of what has happened and what may happen. He's depressed as to what has happened and what may happen. And he's got cancer, Noel! He's got cancer and you haven't now, all right? Be happy with that. Give the guy a break. 0844 499 1000. Kyle, Mike, Satdev, stay there.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Guys, you could get lost in Noel.world. I mean, I'll read one more thing, right? And Mike, Satdev and Carl, stay there. 0844 499 1000. But you go and read his riposte to Philip and Holly on there. Anyway, we have to sign up for this, don't we, guys? In fact, I'm going to sign up for it. Noel.world, where would we be without our pets? What would life be like without our feathered, furry, scaly friends? He spelled scaly wrong. Scaly. Well, the answer is pretty miserable. So I want to make these precious chums feel important and appreciated. This is absolutely genuine. This is on Noel's website, right? It's amazing how a simple, brief phone call... I swear to God, I'm not making this up. It's amazing how a simple, brief phone call can pick up the spirits of the most dejected hamster, the most stressed goldfish, and the most neurotic cat. Please allow me to call your pet and offer positive words of appreciation and motivation. Name, brackets, in the case of working pets, their correct title and job description. Breed. Interests. Licking its balls. Likes licking its balls and sniffing other dogs' bums. Pet's phone number. Your name and number, in case your pet is out when I call. Any additional information? You all... I've just retweeted the link to it. You've all got to sign up for this, guys. You've all got to sign up to Noel phoning your pet up. Please. Please, please, please. I'm going to sign up for it. Mike's on the line. Evening, Mike.
Evening. You all right?
I'm all right, Mike. What you got for us?
Well, first of all, Noel's a bit of a beardy-weirdy now, isn't he?
Well, the thing is, right, as a TV presenter, I think he's great, right? I like Swap Shop. I've always found him a little bit smug, right? But I grew up watching Swap Shop. We weren't allowed to watch Tiz Was. It was too common. And Telly Addicts. I love Telly Addicts.
Oh, that always started on the first day of school from probably late 80s to mid 90s. Always on the first Monday or the inset day before you started school.
Really? How do you remember it that well?
It was brilliant. It was fantastic viewing. It's the kind of thing you're not going to have shows that good nowadays, are they?
It was a good show. What did it used to call the I used to call the Remy Conch. Or the magic. What did he call the remote control on there?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, you remember what day it was on, but you don't remember the Hoofa Doofa?
It finished when I was pretty young, to be fair.
Shut up, man. The Hoofa Doofa.
Oh, no. Anyway, go
back to the main point. What do you call the remote control?
Just the remote. My brother calls it a doofa, which I quite like.
He calls it a what?
A doofa.
A doofa. We call it the Remy Conch or the magic.
It's a bit long.
Well, we don't use... We use Remy Conch. Or...
Where's that from? What's Remy Conch?
The remote... Well, Remy... Remote control. Remy. Remote. Conch. Control.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, Remy Conch.
I like that. That is good.
Or the magic. Where's the magic? Where's the bloody magic? I want to turn the telly over. Where's the magic gone? That's what we do.
I like that. I want to invent a new name.
We can do... Let me just pretend I'm on local radio for a second. What do you call your remote control? 0844-499-1000. It's always a good phone in. Anyway, go on, Mike. What you got?
I think Noel is mistaking positivity for being wealthy. That's the main... When you've got cancer, being rich is genuinely, generally speaking, what tackles it.
Hang on a second, because I want to be fair to Noel, right? Partly because I imagine he's got a legal team analysing every second of this broadcast, right? I know very little about the. I think he had prostate cancer. I don't know how it was tackled. I know that he used this EMP box to tackle it. That was part of the solution. I don't know what else he did. Does money with cancer have much of an impact?
I think when you get to a certain age and you can have such a vast amount of preliminary and precautionary work done, and then you'd probably, you know, you're not waiting for things like
it. If you've got money, I think you can probably speed up the process a little bit, but I think that's kind of it. Unless you're like spending, you know, tens of thousands on drugs you can't get on the NHS, but that's unlikely. And I don't think that was what was happening with Noel. I would suspect if you're really rich, it would speed things up a little bit, and you could maybe go to a, you know, but I was watching a documentary about George Harrison at the weekend. He died of cancer and he's a multimillionaire, so it's not necessarily going to stop you dying.
True. Look at Bowie as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Anyway, it was still indefensible. It really agitated me. I wouldn't say trolling his people who were following him and defending him. I went into some quite vociferous arguments with him. Because, really not. It was just, I feel so sorry for that guy, Vaughan. And if he's listening, I don't think there's anything that
I don't know if he is listening. I keep banging on about how he's a big listener to the. He wasn't listening last week. He sent me an email. Oh, sorry I wasn't listening. Jog on. I had my son staying with me. Oh, get over yourself, mate, for crying out loud. I was defending you in a potentially litigious broadcast. You had your son over. Oh, for crying out loud. And that, I'll be honest, and excuse me for 1 second, Mike, but that, I think, indicates that Vaughan does have a negative attitude.
Yeah.
And it
that
is...
That other guy hit the nail on the head. Where's the primetime TV? Where's... Not even Noel's house party. Where's Noel's roadshow?
What was the one he used to do at Christmas? And I used to hate it, atop a BT tower.
Oh, Noel's Christmas. Was it Noel's Christmas present?
Yeah, and he would, like, go around in Victorian clothes giving presents to sick children. When really what he should have done was just going around them telling them to stop being so negative.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad. I was doing that a lot of the way. It felt really bad. I was saying that. Anyone would have spoiled him. The thing that got me...
Yes.
Is I interpreted it, because, again, I'm... fearful of being a little bit sued. Yeah. Well, you can't sue. I don't have anything. What would he have?
Yeah, no, but it'll be me they sue, Mike. So you'd be double careful.
Wonderful. What's the main thing? How I interpret it, so it's personal interpretation. But he's saying to, like, a parent whose child has possibly passed away from cancer, negative kids. It's genuinely sickened me to my core. I thought it was disgusting.
Yeah. I'd love for him to come on, although I think the first tweet I sent him was something about shoving a box up his arse or something like that. So that is not, and this is a tip for anyone who wants to get involved in radio, that's not a great way to try and secure a guest, let me just say.
And let's be honest, the way you go through jobs, he's got his own radio station, Positivity radio station.
Yeah.
You should have an eye on that. That's FUBAR.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, Mike. He makes a good point. Noel is welcome on. He won't come on. Of course he won't come on, right? But he's welcome on. Everyone's welcome on. Vaughan might come on at some point, but don't have to. He won't be listening to this. Negative attitude. Maybe Noel was right. Could be worth looking into, Vaughan, just saying. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I've just retweeted. Sat Dev and Carl, stay there. I'll come to you after the break. I've just retweeted the link to Noel's Phone a Pet. Right, I'm going to sign up for it during the news. Oh no, I can't because I don't know my phone number and I'm using my phone to Periscope it. I'll sign up for it tomorrow. You sign up for it. And if he calls any of your pets, this would just be, it would just be the most awesome thing in the world, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be incredible? Oh, and what do you call your remote control? 0844 499 1000. Those are the hot topics of this evening. Oh, we'll play round two of Rain or Applause as well, if you fancy go on that. It's the, in fact, let me play you. All right, don't answer yet, guys. Is this rain or is this applause? It's a short one. Or is it static? You said the team out there are saying rain. Yeah, this is a tough one. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to play that. What else is there? Why have I written that one down? Oh, flipping heck! Oh, remind me. Oh, man. Yesterday, I was in bed all day yesterday, right? And then for 2 hours, I got up and went and did some work and did a bit of writing. And I came back, and we have a garage that is separate to our house, right? And I'd noticed the other day that the drain was blocked and the roof of the garage was covered in about 2 inches of water, right? And I don't know much biology. I don't know much trigonometry, right? And I don't know much about roofs and water, but I do know that if there's a load of water on a roof, it means A, the guttering or the drainage is knackered, and B, That will eventually, that will seep through. Either the roof will collapse or that water will seep through, right? So Sunday, I kind of was feeling a little bit, oh, I've written an article for Record Collector about Tommy James. Oh, I think it's quite funny. So I was feeling a little bit buoyant, right? I thought, do you know what I'm going to do? I am going to fix the drain and guttering system at me. I know you're watching me now with the headlamp on. You're thinking, yeah, that guy could probably handle it. No. I'm going to fix the drainage and the guttering system on the garage, middle class. And that will be a job done. Suffice to say, it went completely tits up.
Talk radio.
Well, I've just registered for Noel to ring my cat. It really is that simple, guys. I've just retweeted the link. Why don't you hurry up and get involved? Maybe one of us will get lucky. 0844 499 1000 is my phone number. This is Talk Radio. This is the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Information when no words are spoken, I get so high just thinking of you. Feel just like a schoolboy forgetting my own name. How much do you think the person that you are? They tell you to take you to your old age, but I've been alone in a house so hollow. I never thought I'd meet you. Your perfect imperfections. How much do you think the person that you are?
It's on like one of the deluxe versions of the album. That's the Monkees, right? Probably the best song that is on the album. It's not on the album. What? Flipping love that, man. Love that song. A couple of the other bonus tracks are a little, how do we say, well, Peter's one is ropey. But, that is flipping awesome, isn't it? 29 in the UK charts. Number 29 in the UK charts, the Monkees, you see? Number, I think, 13 in the Billboard charts. 0844 499 1000. So, we're talking Noel Edmonds, we're talking pets. What do you call your remote control? Is this rain or applause? And I'll tell you about fixing a drain later on. Yes, Sat Dev.
Hello, Ian.
Hip, hip, hip.
Can you hear me? Hip, hip, hip.
There we go. I can hear you, sir. Yes.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
That was long. You made me wait 28 minutes.
Yep, yep.
I think I got through quicker to Madame Tussauds. And that's long.
Madame Tussauds, the queue for Madame Tussauds is huge. All the time.
But I still got through it quicker than I got through to you.
How much does it cost?
How much did I pay? About 15 quid, I think it was.
Is that all for Madame Tussauds?
15 quid, mate. Yeah, that was it.
Did you go on your own?
No, I went with my brother and my uncle came from India. So I'd done a tour, you know, like the Buckingham Palace and all that.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to take the boys to Madame Tussauds because they kind of quite dig it. But I don't want to queue up and I don't want to pay a load of money.
Have you been there before?
I went to the... it used to be connected to the Planetarium. Do you remember the London Planetarium?
I ain't been there, Ian. But you know what? I thought, you know, Madame Tussauds, right? I thought, why do I want to go there? It's just going to be statues, yeah?
Yeah.
What possible fun could you have, mate? I tell you what.
Touching them inappropriately.
I had an amazing time there.
But what was... I went to Rock Circus, which was like an offshoot of Madame Tussauds, but it was rock and roll singers. But they don't... What was so amazing about it?
Well, Matt, it was just... We had just a laugh, just taking funny pictures with the... With the, you know, the statues and...
But see, the thing is, I'm famous, right? I know loads of famous people.
But you're not in there. Yeah. You weren't actually in there.
I refused.
Oh, so they came to see
me and different. I refused. But I can... I hang out with... I've got loads of pictures of me touching Anthea Turner's breasts. But the real Anthea Turner and the real breasts. Who's that in the background?
Ian, I wanted to ask you something.
Go on, then.
How did you find the change from the 4 o'clock start... like 10 o'clock.
Oh, it's much better. I never got used to getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I did it for
apparently it's supposed to be bad years. For you, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's terrible for you. I never got used to it. This is much, much better. This is the slot that I've always preferred doing. This, out of all the slots I've done, and I've done nearly all of them except for Through the Night, because I'm not a loser, and I've not done 4 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning, because I'm not a loser. This is the best slot. My brain is functioning better than any other time of the day.
You're chilling basically all day, lying.
Yeah, man, loving
your munch,
it. Yeah,
chilling. Play your Xbox.
Yes, sir.
And then get up and go to work for 3 hours.
That's it. You got it. Get paid in cash after every show.
Millions.
Top dollar. It's not millions, but it's cash in hand.
Is it cash in hand?
Yeah. Like that. Every time I finish the show, I go out, right, and just by my car, there's like a little rock. I lift up the rock, there's a brown envelope shoved full of used fivers and tenors.
Right.
Every single night. It's my boss. That's the deal that we struck with my boss.
So you know when you finish work, then, Ian, yeah?
I do know when I finish it, yes.
And then you go home?
Yeah.
Do you knock out straight away, or do you chill out?
Do I knock what out straight away?
No, do you knock out straight away?
What do you mean?
Well, do you sleep, straight away?
I thought you meant masturbate.
No.
Who is listening to you in the background?
My wife.
Let me talk to her. She sounds much more intelligent than you.
No, she's asleep.
Put her on the phone. Put her on the phone.
I definitely am, Ian. Hiya.
Hello, you all right?
Yeah, you right.
What are you doing with that loser?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I can't work it out. He thinks that Madame Tussauds... I noticed he didn't take you to Madame Tussauds, did he?
Well, actually, I haven't been. I don't really want to go. No. I don't want the real stuff.
It'd be boring, wouldn't it? What's the point of just going to see waxworks of David Beckham and Beyonce?
Exactly. Who wants to see the waxworks when you want to see it in real?
Yeah, exactly. You want to see it in real. Who's the most famous person you've ever seen walking down the street?
Matt Skelton.
Matt Skelton? Who's Matt Skelton?
The boxer.
He lives in
Bedford, don't he?
I don't know who he is.
Matt Skelton?
Shut up, Satdev, I'm not talking to you anymore!
You don't know who Matt Skelton is?
You're going to know who my fist is in a minute.
I've actually had a few drinks with him and I've gone out with him and he's all right.
Why are you going out with a drunk boxer?
He's not drunk.
Oh, I thought you said you had a few drinks. I do apologise in that case to Matt Skelton for slandering him in that way. I don't know him at all. I don't know sports.
You don't know what?
Oh, here we go. He's trouble's back. Trouble's back.
He can't handle it.
I've got work in the morning, Ian. I thought I'd give you a call.
I haven't got work in the morning. I haven't got work till tomorrow night.
You don't need to rub it in.
Yeah.
Don't rub it in, mate.
That's what I'll be doing all day tomorrow.
I like Ian. Yeah. Ian's funny.
Okay. I'm going to cut you off now, Sadev.
All right, mate.
There we go. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. No, I haven't got a clue either. Kyle's on the line. Good evening, Kyle.
Evening, Ian. Are you okay?
Nope.
Oh, if that's I can do?
Nope.
Oh. I don't know where to take the conversation from that point.
Well, take it somewhere.
Well, I was going to say, the thing about the Noel incident, excuse me, well, I'm a bit sort of not concerned, that's the wrong phrase. If he can't publish, so he's sort of saying that he can't get the book published.
It's not fair. He can't get his second book of bullshine published. It's not fair. It must be, not because the book is no good, right? It must be a conspiracy. Or maybe, I mean, I would like to know how many copies the first book sold. And I would then like to look at those figures. Look at how much it cost to publish the book, how much it made back, how much the publisher made, and the contents of the new book. And then I would make a decision to probably not publish it because it's bullshine.
Yeah, but in terms of...
Deal with it, Noel! Loads of people get rejected by publishers. Thousands of people get rejected by publishers every single day. Just because you used to host Noel's house party doesn't mean you're entitled to have a book published. The book's so good, self-publish. Sell through a website.
Well, that was the thing I was going to say. If he's so altruistic, and I'm not casting aspersions on the man, I don't know him, obviously, but why doesn't he, if he's so altruistic and into giving stuff back, why doesn't he just publish it for free on his website if he wants to help people?
And I'm deliberately erring on the side of Edmonds in a lot of these instances, right, because I'm sure his lawyers are picking... He hates legal action, but if he's pushed... He'll sue. He's not said anywhere that he's altruistic.
Okay.
So he wants people to benefit from this, but why shouldn't Noel benefit with a few dollar in his back pocket?
But yeah, but surely he's made enough. Surely he's made enough.
Can you ever make enough?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you think so because you haven't got a lot, right? And I say that, you know, respectfully, compared to Noel, like, you know, I haven't got a lot. It's all comparative, right? But the thing about making money, and there was a period in my life when I was making a lot of money, right, several years ago, it's very Moorish. It's very, very addictive. And you think, right, I'm making this much money. I wonder how I can make a bit more money. And also you worry that it won't last, and that money that you've made, and with me, it didn't last, and it did all disappear in a cloud of smoke, almost literally. So there's never... I don't think you... From the outside, you can think, well, that person's got... What? Okay, what? Give me a figure, Carl. What's enough money?
I've never thought...
It's impossible to answer, isn't it? Is it half a million quid, a million quid, 10 million quid?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and I think you've posted, or somebody might have posted something linked with you saying none of it matters. And I was having a conversation, very deep this, but I was having a conversation because, you know, I had a bit of a health thing. And I think, you know, if I keeled over tomorrow, then it just all go to my brother, which I'd be happy for him to have. But you just sort of think, there's no point, really.
But there is. Because if I keeled over, if I had a car crash on the way home and died, right? Part of me would think blessed relief. But I've got a mortgage, I've got a wife, and I've got two kids. Well, they're not going to be able to survive on the money that my wife makes. So part of me thinks I need to have a certain amount in the bank so that if I did die tonight, they'd be all right for the next year or so. You know, they could get by until, you know, and hopefully their situation would improve.
No, I understand that. I just, and you're right, he's not said he's altruistic. I just, like I said, personally, and this is just my personal opinion, I just sort of think, if you wanted to help people, but yeah, I get the logic of what you're saying, he's not actually said that, has he? I just think he'll just end up doing a book if it gets published, and it will get pulped a la Partridge. Do you see what I mean? It's just
I'm writing the book, Kyle. I'm writing the book. Mm. I've done three chapters, right? And I worked out what chapter four was going to be the other day. Now I've forgotten it, but don't matter. It'll come back again, right? And those, I'm hideously aware that that many people consider me to be not even an Alan Partridge, more of a Richard Madeley, which is worse, right?
Fine.
And I have great visions of the book being, you know, being culled. And it might happen, but it's going to be a good book. It's going to be a funny book. It's going to be a funny book. Already in one of the chapters, I call Eddie Large an SH1T. Yeah, that's how good this book is. That's how good this book is. And then someone tweeted to Accidental Partridge. I replied, well, no, it wasn't accidental. It was deliberate. I know exactly what it sounds like. That's why I wrote it. You idiots. I get it.
Oh, I did notice, by the way, you got a mention last night on Howard's show.
Oh, did I?
He played bits of the interview,
my permission. Interesting. That's interesting. Without my permission, right? Yeah. Okay.
And yeah, but he's very nice about you. But apparently, in the very last hour, maybe very dull till then. Not against Howard. But apparently, David Icke was on it.
Yes, I know.
It was a pre-record.
Yes, it was a pre-record. And David Icke has refused to come on this show. He's cancelled twice. And now no longer, it's his son that manages him. And now no longer replies to Catherine's texts. Does not reply to my texts. Conspiracy? Conspiracy? What conspiracy? The thing is, right, Icke is scared I'm going to tear his nonsense apart. I'm not interested in his nonsense. I want to find out about him. I want to find out why he didn't get on with his dad when he was a kid. I want to find out why his dad was so disappointed with him when he got arthritis and couldn't play football anymore. I want to know what it was like at the launch of Breakfast Television. I want to know why he thinks, because I agree with him on this, that TV is a soulless place to work that saps the living life force out of people. I agree with him. I think there are some, you know, it's a hideous place to work. I want to talk to him about all of that. I want to know how he deals with his pain. He's got crippling arthritis, right? I want to know how he deals with that on a daily basis. I don't want to know about lizards and all that nonsense.
No, that's cool, right? But, right, I know it's been quite a long call tonight, but before I go, right, here's a question for you then. If you didn't do all this stuff, which is very entertaining, what would you do?
This?
Yeah.
Primary school teacher.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite interesting. What, any reason for that, or just...
Because I'd be good at it, and I like kids no older than the age of 9.
Fair enough.
And I'd be good at it. I'd be good at it. I know I'd be good at it.
Oh, no. Do you know what? I didn't expect that answer from you, actually.
I nearly jacked all of this in about... before the boys were born, about 7 years ago, when I was on Absolute, and I was only doing one show a week, right? And I was getting paid really well for it, because it was David Lloyd, and he was doing me a favour, but one show a week, and I felt very unsatisfied and disheartened by the whole thing. And I went to an evening where they were looking for men to become primary school teachers, and I went and sat through the talk, and I signed up for it all, and I got all the bits of paper and all the forms. I went to a primary school, I phoned up the headmaster and explained what I wanted to do, and he invited me in for the day, and I was a classroom assistant for a day. And this was in June or July, and the teacher training course would have started that September, and I needed to get 3 more days of covering in a school to be eligible to go on this teacher training course. And just as I was about to kind of sign up for it proper, I got 4 nights a week or 3 nights a week at Absolute. And we were about to buy a house, and I found out we were going to have our first boy. So jacking in, you know, a very profitable job for a more satisfying one, a deeply rewarding one, but financially not rewarding one, seemed like a terrible idea at the time.
That's really interesting. I had no idea. So thank you for answering that. Thank you.
There you go, Carl. I answer these questions, you see. 08444991000.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
08444991000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, then you can. Catherine, come and join me in the studio. So, the garage roof, right, covered in water, 2 inches of water, right? It's weeks of rain, OK? Mm-hmm. And the roof was bowing a little bit, and I thought, I want to clean this out. Don't worry, I'll do this. Everyone was out. So I got a ladder, climbed up the side of the thing, and I found the guttering was all blocked, and there was a drain. The drain was there, and I put my hand in the drain, and I pulled out some stuff. There was is that what you call a drain? The black plastic pipe where water comes off.
The drain pipe?
Yeah, that was it. So I put my hand in, and it went down a little bit, so it was blocked. I thought, right, what am I going to do? Because I know how this works. I need a long stick to put it down there.
Give it a right good rodding.
Give it there. I'm in my head. I'm making jokes about you getting a right good rodding.
Mm. Okay. Well.
And doing that on the roof.
Hilarious.
But I'm not going to say them, because I tell you why.
Because I'm a person and I'm a professional, and I deserve to be seen as more than a sex object.
No, none of that. Because I think it is inappropriate. Hang on a minute, I can't see you. There you are.
I'm blinded.
Blinded by the light. Who wrote that? I have to up like a douche.
I don't know anything anymore. This is like an interrogation.
Via Vez and Me, can you talk?
Can you dim it?
Via Talk Radio! Via Vez and Me, can you talk? You will give good rotting on roof! Chinese and German at the same time. Who wrote that? Blinded by the light.
Lit up like a deuce.
Do you know who wrote it? Who had the hit with it? Manfred Mann's Earth Band. Who wrote it?
I don't know.
It's a great song. No, you do. You do. It is a bloody good song, actually. Hang on a second. Let's... Blinded by the light. Manfred Mann's Earth Band. Did they have any other...
Cause I didn't even know there was such a thing.
There was Manfred Mann.
Yeah.
But that was
Kisses the... for me. Say
no,
for
that was,
your
that was,
kiss.
That was Brotherhood of Man.
Oh.
That, nothing to do with Manfred Mann.
It's a lot of man.
So Manfred Mann mm-hmm. was a band, but yeah. there was a man in Manfred Mann called Manfred Mann.
Was there?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was the Manfred. Paul Jones was the singer. He was replaced by Mike Darbo.
Yeah.
But then Manfred Mann split up, and Manfred Mann, he didn't. The band,
he got out of the car the wrong way.
The band... Mm. His spine split
in two.
The band Manfred Mann split up, but the man Manfred Mann managed
stayed together.
Mm,
thankfully.
Manfred Mann then made Manfred Mann's Earth Band, which Manfred Mann was in.
Hang on. Manfred Mann, actual Manfred Mann was in it.
Yeah.
All right, carry on.
He was my mate's landlord for a while.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was Manfred Mann a nice man?
Manageable. Here we go. So this is it.
Internet. Just getting into that.
Internet. Well, here we go. We've got plenty of time. We've got no callers. We've got all night to listen to this. Imagine that, right? You've written a song. I've written a song, right? Mm. Right, but you don't know who the songwriter is. I do. So the songwriter comes in and goes, I won't do the voice because it'll give it away. He goes, guys, I've written a song, right? Guys, I've written a song, right?
Was it Jimmy Durante?
Guys. Old Schnozzle Duran? No. Mm. What did you used to call the remote control?
A dicky dirt.
Tell me what you used to call the remote control!
The dick!
So, guys, I've written a song, right? But the songwriter, imagine the songwriter couldn't play keyboards, right?
Mm.
And they go, right, how does it go? And he goes, right, well, the chorus is really catchy, but... Blinded by... They go, great, great. How does it start? He goes, well... They go, go on, tell us how does it start. He goes, well... It goes... Blinded. And they go, what? He goes... Because he can't play the keyboards.
Oh, right.
So, and they go... And then Manfred Mann sits down and goes, hang on a minute. Do you mean this?
What's that second line? Revved up like a what?
Revved up like a douche. It's a motorbike. And you're the second person to ever ask me that.
No, but I know that bit. But then what's the next bit? And then
another runner in the night.
Oh, I thought you said rubber.
You're the second person to ask me about the Deuce line. Do you know who the first person was? Rock and roll legend. Rock and roll legend.
Go on.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah!
Brian Johnson, lead singer of AC/DC.
Was that before he stopped talking to you?
That was literally 2 days before he stopped talking to me. And I offended Brian Johnson. What a humourless man he is.
Is he the one that's bought the massive bum in the hangar?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, you know, the airship man.
No, is that you thinking of Barrymore?
Bought the massive? No, someone's bought a massive bomb.
Oh, I know. No, no, that's that'd be Bruce Dickinson, wouldn't it?
All right, yeah, Bruce.
The reason 08444991000. If you want to tell us just how miserable Brian Johnson from AC/DC is, I was doing a terrible, terrible show for Sky, right? And I can say this now because it was 10 years ago. The chances of Series 2 coming along very terrible. Well, they taught celebrities to drive racing cars. And what could possibly go wrong? Mm. Oh, Miss Dynamite smashed her racing car and had to be rushed to hospital in a coma. Dear. What else could go wrong? Oh, Nick Moran was on it and he was a thoroughly unpleasant gentleman. Do you know, I'm still scared of Nick Moran.
I'm a bit scared.
And I regret saying that now. Mm. I'm terrified of him, thinking of him.
I'll sort him out.
No, you wouldn't, though. He really was. Who was that?
It was my foot against the desk.
He really was. He didn't like a comment. I was like, so it was hosted by Denise Van Outen, right?
Yeah, so chirpy.
Called The Race. I like Denise. I think she's delightful and we get on very, very well. She was hosting it and I was hosting the Sky 2 spin-off show where it was like a sort of the audience thing and I would be talking. It was like Big Brother's Little Brother, basically.
What was it called?
So it was called The Race, I think.
So you were the race.
The racist. And I had to go out and do like funny films and stuff while they were.
You're a funny film man. You're the right guy.
And I went and filmed them like learning how to do something in a car. And they all did really well, apart from Nick Moran, who didn't do particularly well.
Oh, dear.
And at the end of it, I went, and they all did brilliantly, apart from Nick Moran, who was rubbish. Back to you in the studio, Denise.
Fair enough, isn't it? It's only a game.
I'm sat next to Denise. Moran is sat about 4 foot in front of me, facing me. Look of death. That look of death. Locks. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, he didn't get the joke. It's a light-hearted entertainment show. He thinks this is a real chance to become a racing man. And the whole audience laughed, and he gave, literally, for the next 25 minutes, look of death.
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard stories.
Oh.
And afterwards, I thought, I better defuse this immediately.
Bit of humour.
Yeah, so I went up to him. I went, all right, Nick, look, I'm really sorry. Don't talk to me!
Wow.
Literally like that in front of everyone, in front of the audience. Audience, 100 people. Don't talk to me! Walked off like that.
What a plum.
And I thought, flipping it. And I said to the director, I said, look, I ought to... this is going to be an uncomfortable week with this guy. I ought to...
Oh, this was day one?
It was day one, yeah. I said, look, he's obviously misunderstood it. And no one at Sky stepped in and went and had a word with him, saying, Nick, you're being an idiot.
Yeah.
That's his job. Right, so I went, I said, look, I ought to go and apologise to him. And there's a really slimy producer, actually, now I think, and whose job it was. He should have been the one kind of greasing palms and stuff. And he said, yeah, all right, we'll sort it out. Don't worry, I'll be with you, right?
Right behind you.
He took me up to, he said, Nick, Ian's got something to say to you. This is like the next day. And he buggered off.
He really did just push you forward.
Yeah. And I went, look, Nick, I'm really sorry if you're offended. It was a joke. It was a light-hearted thing. He put his hand up. He went, I know all about you. This is not the E channel, because I was doing a programme on the E channel at the time.
Uh-huh.
This is not the E channel. This is a very serious
programme. Oh, wow.
And I went, all right, yeah, I'm sorry. And it went on. He rollocked me for 10 minutes. And I felt like saying, well, this isn't a bloody Matalan advert, you plum. Because remember, we did the Matalan adverts. And I didn't. And I swallowed it up. And I've never felt more humiliated, and I've never seen anyone be so ungracious in accepting an apology. Anyway, he got booed off the series.
I bet there's something else going on there.
Yeah, yeah, I bet there was.
Yeah.
I'll tell you some stories later on as well. But anyway, Brian Johnson was on, right? And we got on really well with him. I got on well with him.
Well, you would.
And then I said, did a question.
He's an ageing rocker. That's
did a question.
Department.
I said, we're talking about cars. Brian, one final thing before we go. What's this the best rock and roll band in the world? He went, AC/DC, like.
I cannot believe you asked me.
And I went, you're wrong. It's Kiss. Coming up next.
Wow.
Look of Death. I had to go and apologise to him the next day. I had to go to his Winnebago. I had to knock on the door. Mr Johnson, I'm really sorry. It was a really ill-timed joke. And I had to say, of course I think AC/DC rock much harder than Kiss.
What? Had they signed their egos in at the door?
Flippin' heck.
What happened? I mean, and ridiculous.
Then, and then there was a woman from Atomic Kitten.
Oh.
I don't know which one, right?
Liz?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Kerry Katona?
No, it wasn't Kerry. It wasn't Kerry.
So then the other one?
Yeah, maybe. And the girls had had a few... There was girls versus boys, right? And mm-hmm. the girls had had a few knocks and crashes in the week, right? And on the day of the race, proper race at Silverstone Racetrack.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah,
sports cars, right? And they were doing all this bullshine, all this positivity thinking. It's positivity, positivity, everything's got to be positive. Everything's got to be phrased positive, right? And I hated going up to them. None of them wanted to talk to me. And the director of my ear would say, "It was this bit was live." He'd say, "Right, go, there she is, go and talk to her now." And I would pretend quite often I couldn't hear him. So I would just stand there, right? Anyway, he said, "Go and talk to the girl from the Atomic Kitten." I went, "All right." He said, "Right, you've got 40 seconds to fill talking to her." And they didn't ever wanted to talk to me. I went, "I'm really sorry to interrupt. Just got to say, we chatted." It was a stupid thing to say. Right?
Oh, Ian.
And I just said, "Good luck. Wish you the best of luck. Don't any of you crash." And they went nuts. I mean, again, they taught me... I mean, we're supposed to be positive. We're supposed to be being positive. And you're bringing negativity into the...
I'm not in your team.
Flip
deal with
heck.
It.
And then Miss Dynamite did have a very serious crash.
Yeah, Miss Dynamite.
Anyway, we're late for ads.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
But the question is, who turned up and said, "I've got a song," and it goes...
Was it... Okay, it's a man, I take it.
Oh, wait, 4449910. Do we do the impression again?
Yeah, it's not helpful.
I've written the song. I do it... I've written a song. I'm looking up because I'm tiny.
Oh.
I've written a song that I think will be great for every man's earth band.
Tiny.
Goes like this.
Not Billy Joel, because he'd know what note it was.
Close.
Well, he'd be able to play it.
Think of the guitar playing Billy Joel. Billy Joel piano? If you were to make a band of Billy Joels on...
Springsteen.
Yes! Springsteen!
Madman, drummers, bombers and Indians in the summer.
Did you just say bummers?
Bummers and Indians. A little bit racist, mate. A little bit racist and offensive. Speaking of racist and offensive, it's Rob Bonet.
Hey, how are we?
What do you want?
Hiya, Kath.
Hiya.
Right. So, bit heavy tonight, so I thought, after the success of the last quiz, a quick one for you this evening.
Go on, then.
Oh, blimey.
Bringing local radio to the nationals.
Oh, yeah.
So today I heard what they do is they take celebrity voices and they make a phrase.
Oh, yeah, the phrase that pays.
Phrase that pays.
And you have to guess the celebrities.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Ian, can you name these celebrities? And I've put my own Bernay twist on it. Here we go. Ready?
Go on.
Ian, please. You.
Any guesses?
Howard Hughes.
I'll give it you once more.
Ian, please. You.
James Whale.
You want, sorry?
James Whale.
Whack, whack.
Oh.
There's three celebrities there.
Oh,
well, you didn't say that.
Sorry, there's three celebrities.
Yes.
It was cut together very smoothly, but you could tell it was three different voices, Ian. I'm surprised you didn't pick up on
that. I just thought it was a really bad edit.
She's right.
Right. Well, okay. Well, was one of them any of the men I said?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh. I'll give you one. One's a radio presenter quite close to you.
Paul Ross.
Ian, please. You.
Paul Ross.
No.
Go on, then.
Do you want them in a different order?
I mean, I don't really want...
You. Ian, please.
Anything?
Go on.
Once more?
Yeah.
You. Ian, please.
I can't get a grip on any of this.
No.
I can't get a grip on it. So not Howard Hughes, not James Whale, not Paul Ross.
No.
Those okay, again, that's offensive.
That makes me want to run.
Okay.
I mean, that's upsetting as well, if I'm honest. But carry on.
I don't know, Rob.
Okay, Dermot Mohan from Sky News.
Who?
Dermot Mohan, the presenter.
Dermot Mohan?
That's the man.
Do you mean Dermot Murnahan?
That's him.
He did the same course as me at, well, obviously years before at City University. Didn't pass.
Okay, let's play Dermot... Well, that's obviously he's still doing better than you. Yeah. Let's play Dermot Murnahan nude poker, all right?
I've never seen him nude, so I can't win.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
is he poking?
In that case, I've won. I've seen his bum crack and his penis and his balls.
Yeah. Why?
Because we used to be lovers. No, he used to use the... He used to use the same gym as me.
What, and stride around?
In the dressing room, yeah, of course he would. Because what do you think you do? You go and get, of course you get naked.
No, I don't get naked.
It all hangs out in the dressing room.
No,
is he Police Academy 1 or Police Academy 6?
Police Academy 1.
Did he dry his balls with the
hairdryer? No. He's a proper solid gentleman, and he used a towel.
Oh, God. Yours?
There we go.
Or his own.
So
there we go.
Where we go? Did I? What happened then? Did I win something?
Well, it's Dermot Mohan.
Dermot Murnahan.
That's him.
He's thinking of Dominic Mohan.
That's him. It's him. It's George Galloway.
Oh, is that man ever going to start working at this radio station? He's on all the posters. And I've never met him.
And Tim Burton.
Oh, for crying out loud! How would we have got Tim Burton? No
now,
one knows what Tim
again,
Burton's
again. They're right there.
Ian, please, you.
Oh, yeah, now you there say it, yeah. Oh, you say it, yeah, I get it. Yeah. Anything else, or shall I cut you off?
We'll go back to the medieval one another time. Ta-ra!
There we go. Thank you very much.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Yes, Victoria!
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Victoria.
I've got a couple of things.
Best song by the Kinks, Victoria.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you not know? It's called Victoria by the Kinks. Don't you know it?
That?
Oh, if I had a song written about me. In fact, I the only song that features the name Ian is Let 'Em In by Paul McCartney. And I would have thought if I had a name that was in songs, I'd know all of the songs by now. Victoria by the Kinks is easily. Hang on a minute. Let me Victoria Kinks. There we go. Let's just jump to the chorus of this. The greatest song they ever recorded.
Is it sexy?
Well, I don't know about that. Hang on a minute. Here we go. It's about Queen Victoria, obviously, but... Here we go. Hang on. Here we go. Victoria was my queen. And what's beautiful is because neither of the Davis brothers can say their R's properly. So you listen to you listen carefully to them saying Victoria. Victoria.
Victoria.
Victoria. That's a good song, Victoria by the Kinks.
That's like the only Fools and Horses sketch, do you remember?
That's what?
Like the only Fools and Horses sketch.
The one where he falls through the bar or the one where they drop the chandelier? Because they're the only two ones I've seen.
No, the one where he couldn't pronounce his R's.
Oh, they're singing that... Yeah. I can see that one of my co-hosts, Julie Hartley Brewer, who's on at the mirror end of the day to me, 10 till 1 in the morning, has got herself into a little bit of bother by saying some controversial things, and some people have argued that she was involved in a hello.
I'm here.
Yeah, she was involved in a contretemps last night on Sky News with Owen Jones, who I didn't know was gay. When they were talking about the Orlando shootings, and he walked off, and there are some people who are arguing, and I'm not necessarily agreeing with this, that she behaved badly, and she then kind of went on her show today and made a big song and dance about it, and there are now some people saying that, Julia, why are you trying to make the horrific massacre that took place in America, why are you trying to make it about you? Now, I'm not suggesting she's doing that, but I get all of the texts and tweets in front of me. When people tweet at Talk Radio, they appear in front of me. Darth Timbo, because it's all about Julia Hartley Brewer. Another one, the winner for Best Actress in the Victim role goes to Julia Hartley Brewer. And I'm just... Why was I telling you about that?
I don't know.
Well, I'm looking up to see what's being said on Twitter. That's another thing. But she's
you're not concentrating on me.
She's well worth a listen. Although, here we go. Sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it's better, and I've learned this lesson. You know when I got the boot from the last place, right? I'm going to say this. I don't think I've ever said this in public, right? You know when I got the boot from the BBC? Maybe you don't know. Mm-hmm. I got the boot from BBC for standing up and having an argument with... I didn't stand up, I sat down. For having an argument with a Christian lawyer about her obscene views on homosexuality. I don't hate gays, Ian. I love them. That's why I want to save them from eternal damnation. That kind of stuff, right? And I called her a bigot. And the BBC booted me out. Here's the thing. Up until this weekend, right... people would say, oh, you're so brave. Oh, you're so brave. And here's the thing that I kept secret to my shame, right? If I'd have known I was going to get the sack for that, I wouldn't have said it. I wouldn't have said it. So I don't know if that makes me a coward, right? But if I'd have known the misery that would I would endure and the shameful way in which I'd be booted out of a job that I absolutely loved, I wouldn't have said what I said. But then... this weekend, and the horrific, you know, insanity that's rained down on this planet once again because of fundamentalism, because of religion, and because of mental health issues as well. The fellas, you know, wasn't well, not to detract from what he did. For the first time ever, I'm really proud of what I said back in November last year. But for a long time, I thought, yeah, if I had my chance again, I would not have said it. But actually, now I'm glad I said it. So,
can I just say, James O'Brien kind of said the same thing today.
Yeah, I know. And he would have got embraced by LBC. And if I'd mm-hmm. said it here, I would have got embraced by Talk Radio. And the BBC bottled it. And I could have been less angry in the way I said it. That's been picked up by a few people. But... I really thought that by defending my gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender brothers and sisters around the world, that the BBC would have carried me around the broadcasting house on their shoulders, made a crown for me and given me a huge cake. Instead, they shafted me and not in the good way. Anyway, go on. What did you call in for? Victoria.
It's silly now. It seems so trivial.
Oh, good. Gear change. Clunky gear change. That's what this show is. We don't have enough of them. Okay. Give us a clunky gear change.
Well, I've got two things.
Yeah.
One, because we've been talking about cats and pets and stuff.
Yes.
I've got a bit of a confession to make.
Well, have you applied for Noel Edmonds to phone your pets?
No, because I've been watching Periscope on my phone.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I'll do it afterwards.
Oh, cry out loud.
Anyways, I let my husband eat a piece of chicken breast this evening that I knew my cat had mauled.
Whoa!
After it was eaten.
Hey!
I mean, after it was cooked.
I ate some cake that my dog sniffed.
Oh, that's worse.
Well, is it worse, though?
Yeah, because dogs do things.
Well, cats do worse things. Cats, imagine being able to lick your own anus. Well, that's cats. That's cats every day.
Well, Prince could.
Yep.
And the other thing is, you've driven me mad all weekend, absolutely out of my mind.
My pleasure.
Trying to find this skip man.
Oh, this is the guy, the murder of Jill Dander. I am sure, and I forgot to look at this. I read a story about a guy who was a lord who was found in the skip at the end of the street on the day that Jill Dander was murdered. And he would have been present at two other murders.
No, Ian, I have Googled every single connotation.
No.
Yes. Even Ian Lee's weird dreams, it hasn't come up.
No,
nothing.
This is the conspiracy. This is the conspiracy, right? This is what they want us to forget that it happened. I swear to you, it happened. I remember that I had the clipping for ages. He was called himself Lord somebody. He was found in a skip and he was questioned by police and he had nothing to do with it whatsoever. But he was also present at two other murders.
But I've Googled all that.
Mate, honestly, one day I'm gonna have that guy sat in this studio talking to me, and you can phone up and you can eat a little bit of humble pie that's been licked by a cat. How about that?
Okay.
Thank you very much indeed, Victoria. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 0844 499 1000. Yes, I can see Julia Hartley-Brewer is getting abuse on Twitter. Now, what she may or may not have said, and I didn't hear it this morning, but I read the transcript of some of it. There's no point in sending her abuse. It's not, that's not a nice thing to do. You don't, you know, you don't combat someone's perceived stupidity or, I'm really struggling with words at the moment, or insensitivity, by being stupid and insensitive yourself. So, tough one, isn't it? Oh, 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. But very quickly, final point on that Julie Hartley-Brew thing. I find it amazing that anybody is trying, is arguing about anything or discussing anything to do with Orlando that isn't to do with the poor sods that got murdered. Do you know what I mean? And that anybody would go on Twitter saying the kind of stuff that lots and lots of other people are saying. I had someone tweet me today saying, oh, Owen Jones acted like a right idiot last night. I didn't see it. I saw the 30-second bit where he walked off. I don't know what happened before. What I saw in that 30 seconds, you could never judge a clip from just that. I saw a bloke who was really upset who couldn't face being on TV anymore. That's what I saw. That's what I saw when Owen Jones walked off. I saw a bloke who was really upset and didn't want to be there anymore. Fair play. I wish more people would walk off TV shows. Edmunds, in his thing, says he wished he'd walked off this morning the other day. Should have done it. Should have done it. Stuck two fingers up at them and walked off. If you're not enjoying it, there's this weird thing, right, when you're on TV and you're in the studio and you've got the mic, and quite often with Sky, it's not a radio mic. With radio mic, you have them in your pocket and you can walk around anywhere. With Sky, when I'm doing it, they've switched to a static mic, which means you're sat there and the mic is kind of plugged into the floor and you have to clip. So if you want to walk off, you've got to unclip the mic and put the mic down and walk off. And there's a real kind of, there's like an almost sort of invisible force holding you on the set. I did Sky News with Julie Hartley Brewer once, only once. I wouldn't want to do it again because I didn't really enjoy it. And I've told this story before, but we were talking about the young four-year-old Syrian boy that had been washed up dead on the beach. Heartbreaking story, right? Heartbreaking story. And she was saying it was bad parenting. These young men should be staying in their country to fight. And then she had a go at me saying the only reason I wanted to help refugees was so that I would feel good about myself. And she went on and on, and we kind of had an argument. I've got it somewhere at home. I should dig it up and put it on YouTube. We had an argument, and, you know, and Stephen, who was hosting it, and I don't know who else was there, they kind of were stunned into silence, which doesn't really happen very often. And I found her views obnoxious, right? But that's kind of the game, isn't it? I was on as the liberal left, you know, lefty, and she was on as the right wing, you know, gobshite. And but then we went to the break. Normally in the break, at those kind of things, if it's been a bit tense, someone will make a joke, and you'll talk about, you know, what you did that week or what you've got planned for the rest of the day. And she didn't, and she carried on telling me more and more, spouting more and more what I perceived to be bile, what she would have perceived to have been a rational, right-minded thinking. And we were never going to agree on it. We come from different sides of the fence, you know. And I found what she was saying so obnoxious and so unpleasant about these kids that were dying, you know, people that were dying, right, in an attempt to better their lives. And yeah, there's dodgepots and there's people that are coming over in economic migrants and all that stuff, right? And I just couldn't take it anymore. And I turned to her, not my proudest moment, and I said, Julia, you are a flipping disgrace of a human being. I didn't say flipping, I said the swear word. You are a flipping disgrace of a human being. Silence. Stephen Dixon, the host, was silent. Awkward. Silence for about 3 seconds, and she carried on and didn't shut up. And I don't think it even registered with her. She heard it, because the next time I met her was about 6 months later here. And first thing she said was, do you still think I'm an effing disgrace of a human being? And I said, actually, yes. And then I had to spend another hour and a half in the green room with her. And she, you know, she's a perfectly decent woman, but I just find her views repulsive and obnoxious and dangerous and poisonous. But me saying that you're an effing disgrace of a human being, you know, it's not my proudest point, but she did really upset me. Anyway, what's the point I'm trying to make? I don't know. Oh, yeah. You know, something horrific happened in America, you know, beyond horrific, beyond our ken, as people would say in Scotland. And it just strikes me as really odd that there are other people trying to make it about them or trying to get publicity or... Forget it, man. Forget it. Doesn't that stuff make you realise that none of this matters? None of the Sky News doesn't matter? This talk radio doesn't matter? This show doesn't matter? Do you know what I mean? Anyway, tangent... brought back. Last hour of the show, we'll play, is it Applause or is it Rain? This is the one we've got at the moment. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Don't call up yet! Because after the break, we shall take your calls straight to air. Oh, I started telling you the story about how I tried to fix a drain. And, well, here's a surprise. It ended in tears, literal tears, and a lot more swearing as well, actually. Been a lot of swearing this weekend, guys. One of those weekends. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Don't dial yet.
Talk Radio.
Last hour of the show. How's it going for you guys? I'm finding it hard work at the moment, but, you know, what are you going to do? Last hour of the show, anything goes. CB radios, bats. I need to talk to you about bats. That's what I meant to talk about all night. Here's the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Do you see what I mean? We're talking. None of the. Did you hear that story about the copper getting stabbed?
Horrible.
And his 3-year-old kid. What the flipping hell is going on in the world? What is going on, man? We need to chill out. We're going to chill out for 4 minutes, 39 seconds. This is stunning, all right? And, well, that thing with the coppers really knocked me for six.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's horrible.
Flipping, let's have some of this.
Sunrise doesn't last all morning. A cloudburst doesn't last all day. Seems my love is up and has left you with no warning. It's not always gonna be. All things must pass. All things must pass away. Sunset doesn't last all evening. A mind can blow those clouds. After all this, my love is up and must be leaving. It's not always gonna be this great. All things must pass. All things must pass. Face another day now. The darkness only stays at night time. In the morning. like that. It's not always gonna be this great. All things must pass. All things must pass.
Do, wouldn't it? That'll do. Did you know the Beatles turned that song down?
They turned a few of that one down, on that album down, didn't they?
I'm obsessed with George Harrison. I watched the brilliant Martin Scorsese. He knows how to make a good rockumentary. He made a brilliant documentary about Bob Dylan, a man I really have very little time for. But the documentary was fantastic. And the brilliant, it's like 4 hours long. This George Harrison documentary. I've just lent it to you, and it's mm-hmm. absolutely, it's stunning in its.
Hello.
Go away. It's stunning in its beauty, its honesty, it's when Ringo talks about him dying, and Ringo wipes away a tear. Oh, jeez.
He was their kid brother, though, wasn't he?
He was 20, just turned 27 when the Beatles split up.
God,
imagine that.
As a kid.
27, I was, oh no, 27, I was doing the 11 o'clock show. So in many ways, my career path was equal to that of George Harrison's. It's a brilliant documentary. Absolutely brilliant, right? The bit when Ringo talks about him dying, the last time he sees him, is just heartbreaking. And also, I first saw it in a screening, right, a press screening, when it first came out, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago. I was sat 5 seats away from Bob Harris, I remember. And there's a bit, do you remember when someone broke into his house, a nut job broke into his house and tried to kill him?
Didn't they say that sort of set him on a path to...
Well, you're seeing the thing, but yeah, he just recovered from cancer, but they're convinced, then he got cancer again, they're convinced that, because he gets really badly, you know, he nearly died.
Didn't he get hit over the head a lot?
He got stabbed.
God.
Stabbed several times. And his wife, Olivia, you watch it, it's brilliant, because they heard someone break into the house, right, in the middle of the night, it's a massive mansion, Friary Park. And she locked the bedroom door. And he said, what are you locked the bedroom door for? She said, well, I don't want him to get in. He said, no, I've got your mum's upstairs. I'm going to go down and see what's... I'll go and talk to them.
Oh, God.
And he went, and this guy... Oh, it's terrifying. I will tell you. It's not a spoiler. You know, he shouts down over the balcony, what do you want? And the guy shouts, you know what I want. And he comes up and they have a fight. And the way Olivia tells the story of what must have been the most horrific night in their life, she gets a poker, right? And this guy's, and she doesn't know this guy's got a knife, right? And she just thinks he's sat on him, punching him, but he's stabbing him in the chest. And she said, she's American, I think, and she says, my dad always taught me with a baseball bat, follow through, follow through. So I've got this poker, and all I'm thinking is, I've got to follow through. And she smacks him in the face. And when she tells that, there was a cheer in the in this this viewing theatre from everybody, because she was just, you know, she's quite a slight woman, mm-hmm. you know.
But if she hadn't done that,
he... yeah. And the weirdest thing is, right, he wept. George Harrison wept because he didn't die, right? Because his whole life, because he's spiritual and all this stuff, his whole life was him, apart from the cocaine and the sex and the music, was his spiritual life was him training to die. You know, he was building up to death, and he kind of thought he was going to... And then he didn't. And he tells, I think it's Ringo tells a joke. Maybe I don't know, but as they're leaving the house and stretching, right, and he's been stabbed about 8 times in the chest, there are 2 new members of staff there, and he says something to them, how are you enjoying the new job? As he gets carted out. It's amazing. It's such a good film. It's so sad. I mean, how old was George Harrison when he died? I'm going to say...
Early 60s?
I'm going to say 57. He died 2001. Because I remember it was the same year as 9/11. I went down to Abbey Road and watched a load of Germans smoking a joint. And I kind of wish I'd joined in, do you know what I mean? I thought, I kind of was on the periphery. I wish I'd gone and joined in with those guys. Let me find out how old... Well, while we're waiting, we've got a call here. Let's go to line one. Yes, line one.
Hi, and it's Nelson from the Norfolk.
Hey, Nelson, how you doing, man? Every time I fall for that. Every time I fall for that. I'm going to say George Harrison was 57 when he died. 58.
Wow.
58. Nothing. It's nothing, is it?
That's younger than my dad.
Nothing. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Poor old George. He's the one... I've interviewed Ringo and I loved it. I loved it. I was sat in Apple waiting for Ringo. We sat in Apple offices waiting for Ringo to arrive. And he walked in and he went, I know you! Because I'd been on This Morning that morning and he'd watched me. He went, I know you!
He wasn't just being showbiz, he actually did.
Yeah, he did. And it was brilliant. And we did this interview and it could have gone on forever. And he went, look, you're never going to end this interview, so I am. That's it, we're finished, thank you.
I saw it, you did put it on YouTube, didn't you?
It's on YouTube, yeah.
It's
still the biggest, most viewed thing Absolute Radio have ever had. Thanks very much indeed.
And not just by me.
No. It's one of my proudest moments, meeting the Beatle. And he was delightful, and he refused to sign something, and he wouldn't shake my hand, so we did an elbow thing, so he didn't want to get germs. And he's an old man, you know, He's an old man. And he was... Ringo nearly died when he was a kid. Ringo, I think he had... Did he have tuberculosis or something as a kid? And he had to go... They would send people away.
Yeah, send them out to be exposed. Didn't they go and sit on windy cliffs?
Yeah. What do they...
Sanitariums.
Sanitariums. Yeah. And he was supposed to, you know, died as a kid and stuff. And he was...
This kid's not well. What should we do? Oh, let's just wheel him out and leave him outside.
But
my
this
God.
this George Harrison documentary, I mean, it really is... it was beautiful.
Ringo
beautiful.
Winked at me once.
Did he?
Yeah. I saw him at the Chelsea Flower Shows with Barbara.
Yeah.
She's an amazing-looking woman. Yeah, Have you seen her in real life?
No.
She's just... I mean, I don't know if she's had work done, but you can't tell. She just looks like a... She's just flawless.
He told my dad to F off once.
Okay, you win.
My dad was working for BBC. It was in the 80s when he was a boozer. Uh-huh. The Ringo, not my dad. Well, no, my dad may have been there, I don't know. But he was a boozer and he was, you know, lots of cocaine and all the blackouts and stuff like that. And my dad had to... He was at some do. I got him to tell me this story again just before he died. He was at some do and he was there with the BBC and he had to go up to him and say, Ringo, could we just get a 30-second interview with him? And he went, no, I'm not interested. And he said, we can give you £400 for 30 seconds. And Ringo went, look, F off. I spend more than that on fags in a week.
Fair enough. That's
anyway,
enough.
Yeah, all right. Fair play.
So but I think Ringo's the most famous person I've ever seen in real life, apart from actual Stringy.
I want to see McCartney, because I know where McCartney's offices are. They're in Soho Square, I think. Just off Soho Square, maybe.
Do you think he goes in?
Yeah, a lot.
Does he?
Yeah, a lot. And I know a lot of people... that have seen him walking down the street. He just gets out and walks.
Do you want to go and hang outside there?
I'm tempted. Mackenzie knows him. My friend Mackenzie knows him.
Gosh.
She's in a pop video with him. Have you seen the video he was in? It was...
When they keep in touch?
They did for a bit, yeah. McCartney would phone him up and invite him out for dinner and stuff. What was the song? It wasn't on the best.
Are you doing the actions?
Here we go. Look at this. I didn't. It's not one of his best songs, but is it? But
let's have a look.
Hang on a minute. Here we go.
Oh, that one. There you go, this is the place. I bet he's got peacocks. They always have peacocks, these sorts of people. It's all very well.
Mackenzie, look!
Place in the country, but some muggins has got to deliver the post, didn't they? Better get a cup of tea out of it, that's all I can say.
Afternoon. This one's for you. Bit cumbersome, this one. If I can bring it in, I'm going to need a signature off you.
Right. Improvising. And Mackenzie said he was not a good improviser,
no.
McCartney.
Okay.
You seen what they're doing up the road there?
No.
Cup what of tea. Love a cup of tea.
I didn't ask you.
I'm sorry.
Would you like a cup of tea?
I love a cup of tea.
You know why? Likes to be in control.
There was this.
You have to relinquish, don't you, when you improvise?
Relinquish.
Yes, and.
08444991000.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Okay, so is this rain or applause? Oh, hang on a minute. Hang on, where are we there?
Rain.
Same rain?
Mm-hmm.
You're spot on. I'm going to give you that one. Okay, is this one... Let me mark it off, though. Now I've done that.
A light, people will know the difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, is this rain or is it applause?
Rain.
Okay, you're convinced. Okay.
Sounds splashy.
Okay. How about this one?
I feel rain.
You're right, you're right. All right, how about this one?
Applause.
Okay, oh, you ruined that game. That took me an hour to put that together.
I told you to try it out on me first.
It took me an hour to put that together. So I went to fix the 08444991000, by the way. 7 pence a minute plus access charge. Significantly more from some mobile phones, but maybe not. Don't matter. Otherwise, we'll just sit here and talk. It's up to you. So I climbed up the ladder, so I put my hand in the drain. I saw that there was some detritus and a little bit of water came out. I thought, right, I can fix this. I need a stick. So I went and got a broomstick and I climbed up on there again and I'm whacking it through and it went through. I thought, brilliant. I've sorted it. I fixed it. Fixed it, brilliant. So just,
there's not something in there that's supposed to be in there, like
no.
The filter.
No. So I'm giving it a good whack, right, and it goes straight down, and it goes into the garage, and then it goes straight down. So I'm whacking it. I thought this is brilliant. I was there for a bit. I thought I've sorted this out. Then I went into the garage, and I'd knocked the whole drainage system away, so all of the water was pouring through this hole, and the garage, it was literally 2 inches deep water, and I. So I opened the garage, I'm thinking quick.
Yeah, you got to.
I opened the garage door and there was nothing else I could do. I had to stand underneath it and try and put the tube back up there. Turns out the tube didn't go straight down.
So I'm kind of
convinced with it went down and then went round that. And so I just whacked it out. So I had to stand underneath it and it's all this water. Imagine all this water coming through this massive hole. I was soaked, literally soaked. And I was trying to hold the thing up there. And I, yeah, it was to no effect. So I was in the garage, the swearing a lot, and then trying to sweep the water out.
Mm.
Have you ever tried to sweep water out?
Yeah, I flooded the bathroom once.
Flipping it, man! It was outrageous.
I flooded. Well, it wasn't the bathroom; it was my room in the hall of residence.
No.
Started filling the sink up.
Yeah.
Got a phone call from my boyfriend.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously, it was in the end of the landing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I went out,
yeah.
Left it running, came back, whole place was swimming. And that carpet hadn't been cleaned for years. There is nothing quite like the smell.
Man alive.
Of a hot... Oh, my word. I was not popular.
So that was Sunday. Soaking wet. And I had to strip off in the kitchen, which the boys found... hilarious. What happened, Daddy? I broke the drain, boys, and I'm wet and I'm going for a shower. I've got all this dirty water on me. I'm probably poisonous. So that was Sunday. 08444.
That was Sunday.
That was Sunday, basically, ruined. I had a shower and went to bed. I had a shower, then I watched George Harrison. That's what I did. 08444991000. Saturday was taken up by, I don't remember the day, a lot of it was in bed. Why the hell not? But for my birthday, I should bring it in because you never know, they might be living here. I got a bat detector from my mother-in-law, best present ever, bat detector, right? And what it does is it's like a little box with a little microphone. And, and you turn this dial and it changes the frequency, and different bats communicate on different frequencies.
Right.
And at dusk, early evening, the kind of bats you're going to get will be on the lower frequencies, around between 30 and 50 megahertz.
I don't know. I'm just nodding.
And then there's other bats that, and it goes up to like 125. So I took the boys over to the field and the woods. And they were just standing in the middle of the field with us. I said, boys, this is not going to work. They're going to be in trees. They're going to be bats just like hanging in the sky.
Think, boys, think.
So we went into the woods and we turned it on and we heard loads of bats. But every time they heard a bat, you basically would hear and the boys would go, it's a bat! And then it would stop because they'd scared the bat, of course. But we heard loads of bats and it was awesome. And I was tempted to go back later when the boys were in bed.
Because just detect on yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was loving it. I was loving it. They kept going off and playing. Like, I'm going to go back and listen to the... I've got something. Like that. And you can tell from the frequency and the speed of the clicks what type of bat it is.
Gosh.
Isn't that nuts? They communicate in with different... clicks.
My eldest daughter has been doing this thing after school. She used to do drama, and then there's been some sort of drama at drama club, and now drama club's off. So then she replaced it with computers. That lasted a term.
Yeah.
And now she's doing eco-science club.
Oh, right? What the hell?
I don't know what that is. I think...
Hang on, it might save the planet.
It might. I think it's identifying trees in that.
Yeah.
Right, but I found her notebook the other day, where she'd been spotting birds out of her bedroom window.
Hang on 1 second. Let's find out what birds she spotted. I'm hoping there are some tits there. Yes, I'm one.
There are tits.
Thank you. Carry on.
One wood pigeon.
Yeah.
Two male blackbirds.
Aren't wood pigeons just the most boring bird of all?
They're massive. But when we first moved to down south, we'd never seen wood pigeons before. Right?
What happened to sparrows?
We've still got some.
I haven't seen a sparrow for years.
They're not as common as they used to be, are they?
When I was a kid, the sparrows, all the sparrows everywhere. Sparrows, 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 sparrows. And now you don't really see sparrows anymore.
Wood pigeons, loads.
Yeah.
When we first moved to the countryside, I mean, where I live in the countryside, but it was more countryside than we were used to. My dad was really taken with the wood pigeons. He said they were as big as chickens. And
quite often they sound like cuckoos.
Yeah. Well.
They do.
No, that's more of a...
Or is it... Yeah, but they make that kind of noise. They do make that kind of noise. No, they don't. I've never heard them make that noise at all.
Anyway, let me go back to the list.
Yeah.
Two male blackbirds, one sparrow, just the one.
Yeah.
Two pigeons.
Yeah.
One female blackbird.
Okay.
Now I think she might be just, making it up.
How does she know it was female? You can't see a bird's vagina.
Blackbirds. A female blackbird is brown.
Okay, all right, fair play. I didn't know that.
You haven't got the bumper book of birds like she has.
No.
One missile thrush.
I've got a bumper book of birds, but I suspect it's a slightly different one.
One small blackbird, female.
Yeah.
One marsh tit.
Why is it called a blackbird then?
Because the male...
Have you got your phone on in here?
No, I haven't got my phone on.
I keep getting the phone signal.
I keep getting a...
Yeah, that's the phone signal sound.
Me. One marsh tit. She's just making this up now. Well, three wrens, one stock dowl.
Named after the Jodie Marsh, of course.
And then she writes, bonus, a blackbird pooed really close to my window.
Bonus. Someone's tweeted me, Ian, does this box that detects bats also tackle cancer?
Probably, if you wish hard enough.
Yeah. If you've got a positive attitude, mate, then yes, it will. All right? Just get over yourself. I hope you've all registered on noel.world.
I haven't got any pets, but maybe I'll do it anyway.
Yeah, just, I gave them the answer phone number, so...
Fingers crossed.
We'll see. Life is cyclical for me, right? 0844 499 1000. I don't know why you've gone shy. And boy, oh boy, doesn't it feel great to be probably the only show that hasn't mentioned the football once?
Well, you just did it.
Well, apart from that, but just flipping football. I thought the other day, right, when the England match was on, I was watching on Twitter, and I don't follow anybody apart from 12 people, 13 people. One of them is Danny Baker, and one of them is my mate Scott, and they were banging on about how exciting the football was, right?
They love it, don't they?
And everyone had gone to bed, and I thought, well, I might as well, England playing really well. I thought, I'll watch it, see if I can feel something. Yeah. So it was the second half. Now,
can you not do that because you're blind?
No. So we don't use the Skybox. The Skybox is unplugged. And here's the thing about the Skybox, right? If you want to use it after you've unplugged it, you've got to plug it in and not touch it for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Because if you do it, it buggers it up, right? So plugged it in, left it for 3 minutes, turned it on, and it was being weird. It would leave the, I believe they call it the EPG, the electronic program guide, the bit at the bottom.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They would leave it on the screen for the whole thing. I was trying to get rid of it, and I got the football match on, and trying to get rid of this EPG, and they're about to take a free kick, and then I hit the button to get rid of the EPG, and it went to, like, the menu, but with the sound, and I heard them go, "Oh, what a fantastic goal!" And I'm going, flipping sting, I couldn't. I just couldn't get back. It took me like another 30 seconds to get back to the picture. So I missed the goal. And I was watching it. And then it sounded like a bomb went off. Do you know the bit where it sounded like a bomb went off?
I didn't watch it. I don't watch football.
It sounded like a bomb went off. And then I just thought, I don't get it. And then the Russians scored. And I tweeted, I texted Scott, "Goal!" And he went, "That's not funny." And it turns out that was a bad result for England. Oh. It was boring. That's all I'm going to watch of it. It was very, very, and then it all, and then, so I turned it off, and I started playing Xbox. Halo Wars, backwards compatible. Got it for Xbox 360, but bought it for £8 in Computer Exchange.
Bargain.
But you can play it on Xbox One, and it's used to be my favourite game, right? It's been my favourite game. It's like war strategy, right?
And it's not a game, then, is it?
No. It's a game. It's a way of life. And I was obsessed with this about 6 years ago, just could not stop playing it, right? But it's a really old game, and so I bought it, and they've just made it so you can play it on the Xbox One, because it was an old game. And I bought it, and I thought, well, no one's playing it. And I would go in and sit in the lobby, they call it, for like 15, 20 minutes, waiting for someone to come and join me, and no one would come
you
and join me.
You were sitting in 1998, that's right.
Yeah, and I would keep going back into the lobby, like every, you know, and no, I said, oh, that's a waste of £8, no one's going to play me. And then on Saturday, I realised that when you're sat in the lobby, you've got to press the OK button. So to say that you're ready. And I'd forgotten to do that.
Oh, you plum.
So then I'm playing it.
Okay.
And I'm in.
Were there other people then?
Yeah, there's loads of people. I wasted my time. Loads of people went out. And then the first game I got mullered. All right. And then the second game it started coming back. Third game, unbeatable.
You're in.
Unbeatable. Mm-hmm. Unbeatable. Boo. Anyway, but then it said I looked on Twitter as I was waiting in the lobby for this, you know, someone to come and join me, that it was all kicking off at the football. I thought,
now you're interested.
I'm interested in that. Mm-hmm. I'll have some of that. Not in a gratuitous, well, I guess in a gratuitous way.
You were interested.
In a newsy way. There we go. I guess more of a thing. That stops me becoming another Julia Hartley Brewer. And so then it took me ages to get the telly back on. So it'll go up to Channel 6. That's where Sky is. And you'll get Sky on and the EPG was still there. And it was just Ian Wright talking, and there was no footage.
They didn't show a lot of it.
No.
Am I right in thinking they didn't put the cameras on
it? They didn't put the cameras on it. What has happened to Ian Wright's glasses?
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
He's got, you know when you get bubble mixture and the tiny little circle that you blow the bubble. His glasses are made out of those.
Let me look him up.
We'll have a quick break, and you look up Ian Wright.
Late night Ian Lee.
On air and off the loop.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Doesn't it? It looks like the...
It does, though, yeah.
The thing that you... Oh, wait, 444-499-1000.
It looks like Howard from the Halifax.
Feel free to... Well, that's a bit racist.
Why?
Just because he's a black man.
No, he looks like him.
On Trisha once, they had... 0844-499-1000. You can interrupt this mundane chat at any moment. As soon as I see your name on the screen, I will stop speaking. They had make dreams come true for like sick kiddies and stuff like that. And they had this kiddie on, or this woman on, who was dying. I don't know what the problem was. And you know, like they were like reuniting lost families and all this stuff. And they had this woman on. I think she was dying, right? And Trisha said, "What is your wish, your dying wish?" And she said, "My dying wish is to meet Howard from the Halifax."
Oh no!
Right, and Trisha went, "Well, if Howard's watching, this is the phone number." They put the phone number on screen. "If Howard's watching, this is the phone number. Howard, get in touch, and we can put you in touch with Margaret, and that'll be great." Margaret, thanks very much. If you walk off that way. Margaret walked off that way, and of course, Howard comes
around. He's got nowhere else to do, has he?
He's got nowhere else to do, is he? And, and it really was. Imagine if you're like dying, like the one thing you need to do before you die is meet Howard from the Halifax adverts. How miserable must your life be? I don't want to be rude about
that. Maybe you've met everyone else. Maybe it's his turn.
I wonder if that's on YouTube. My dying wish is to be reunited with that clip of... Oh, and I'm reminded, right, Howard Halifax ad. Imagine if this was
what happened to him? They fired him off, didn't they? They started getting everyone in on the act.
Maybe I'm a banker who's completely obsessed. He's got Ian Wright's glasses on. He has. This is the original. This is the original Halifax ad.
This is when bankers were still fun. Remember?
Yeah, Howard's the reason that the whole world went bankrupt.
Get back to your desk, Howard. There's work to be done.
Yeah. I was going to follow on from that with an excellent point. What was I going to say? So Trish... Oh, yeah. So you know we talked about Welcome to Leith, the documentary about racists that take over this small town?
Yeah.
Right. I forgot to mention the most amazing scene in this film.
Go on.
Right? So it's an incredible film, right? It's on Netflix. Welcome to Leith.
This is a film where this new guy comes to town and starts buying it up, and it turns out he's a massive racist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's brilliant.
And he's trying to buy everyone out so
absolutely
he can set up
this
racist
right?
encampment.
I've forgotten what the best bit was.
Go on.
He goes on to an American chat show, the racist guy, the white racist guy, to get his DNA checked, and they find out he's like 29% black or something.
Oh, that's
right?
Delicious.
It's hosted by Trisha. Huh? She had her own show in America. When the hell did that happen? When the hell did Trisha, a woman I find very, very sexually arousing?
Yeah, so do I.
When the hell did she get her own show on American?
Is that where she went?
Television. Well, she got very ill. She had cancer.
Mm-hmm. They replaced it with Kyle, didn't they?
Yeah, oh, that's sleazeball. And then she got her own show in America. Positive thinking. That's what it is. Positive thinking. That's amazing.
Or a good agent.
And McKenna had his own show in America. I'd love a show in America. Just one series before it got taken off.
Well, they like Corden, don't they?
Why'd you have to mention that idiot for? Yes, Line 1, you're on the wireless.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, first time calling live radio, so it's quite exciting for me. I think the first time, I've got some strange memory that about 10 years ago, I heard you speak to Rick Wakeman on possibly LBC when I was driving the car. Is that possible?
Where were you driving to?
I was driving from Clapham to Stockwell.
Yes, in that case, I think I might have done.
You remember?
Perfect. That's great.
I think I did. I think I had him on LBC. I think if we did, it was on the phone.
I think it's because I think you. I do remember you talking about Close to the Edge being possibly a good album.
There's no possibly. About it, Close to the Edge is a masterpiece. A masterpiece.
It is. It's fantastic.
And I don't. I don't remember if we got him on in the end or not. I don't. This is how Close to the Edge start. The first track on Close to the Edge, 18:42.
Oh blimey!
Oh, but no. Listen.
Pack that in.
No, listen.
That's what happens when there's no women in the band.
Oh no! It's
get to the point.
It is a great record. Listen to this. Listen. Here we go. What's your name, caller?
It's Miles.
Okay, Miles. Well, okay, listen to this. This is how it starts. Listen. I've written this song and it goes. Are you a fan of Yes, then, Miles?
Possibly, yes.
Okay, you've been keeping your cards very close to your chest,
man.
And I appreciate that. Thank you, Miles.
Okay, cool.
Cool. There we go.
Successful call.
Yeah, well, I mean, fair play, Miles. Thank you. Here we go. Listen to this. This is great. This is great. Tempted to end the show with this.
How long was it?
18 minutes.
Oh,
But then listen when he starts singing. When John Anderson comes in. Mwah. Not the referee in Gladiators. Then it's got the best keyboard solo, the most pretentious keyboard solo. Here we go. Don't worry, it's discordant for a reason. Rick Wakeman's dressed up as a wizard at this moment.
Here we go.
But then listen to when the song comes in. Listen. Wait. Hang on, here it comes. Ready? Right, here we go. There we go. Boom, cha, boom, cha. Wait. Honestly, the discordance is what makes the beautiful melody all the more beautiful. Here we go. Oh, I'm listening to this on the way home.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
You won't fall asleep.
Here it comes.
Brian Fern.
Here we go. Yeah, it is. Here we go. This bit goes on a bit longer than I remember, actually.
You know, some people are trying to sleep listening to this.
Here we go. Listen to this, though. Then listen to when he starts singing. The song's not even started yet. Here we go. You ready? It goes on for a lot longer than I remember.
Yeah. Really long.
Here we go. Oh. Here comes the song. Here comes the song proper.
There's a tune.
Here comes. I don't know the words. But listen, this is the bit. Here's the bit.
So pretentious.
No, it's not. Here we go. It's the chorus. That's another verse.
Of course there is.
The chorus. Don't remember the words. We'll have the chorus, then we're going to jump to the
end.
No, the pretentious keyboard solo.
What? More pretentious than this.
Here we go. Chorus. To the edge, down by the water. Close to the edge, down by the river. All right. So you've got you on that bit, right?
You have a chorus.
Then we get then to this thing.
Then we get
to the keyboard solo, right? And then, don't worry, here we go. Oh, we got this bit, here we go.
By the river, seasons will pass me by. I get down.
Bass. Rick Wakeman's just stretching his fingers. Ready? He's getting ready for it. He's getting ready for it.
Someone needed to call time on this about 2 minutes in.
Listen. He's just warming up. He's checking his keyboard works. Here we go. Ready? Here it comes. This is amazing. Here we go. tempted just to play the whole thing.
I mean, you might as well now.
And we're pretty much there. Yeah, we go. We just skip forward a bit.
Oh.
Comes the keyboard. This is brilliant. Rick Wakeman, who also played the piano on Morning Has Broken by Cat Stevens.
Yeah, I know. It was a bit
here
more to the point in that.
Here it comes,
I mean, flipping it.
This goes on for a bit. I'll skip forward. Maybe skip forward 5 minutes. Hang on.
I just want to scream. You boys, stop it!
Here it comes.
The truth is written.
There we go, Keyboard solo.
Get up. I get down.
Started, you wait. Here we go.
Playing his organ fittingly, his whole thing is.
Here we go, here it comes. Here it goes. This is, you're gonna love this bit.
You reckon?
Oh, that goes on for ages, actually.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Song's finishing, coming to an...
Seasons will pass you by.
Listen to this song.
Coming to the end now. Side one of the album done. Turn side two, up another. That's the 70s.
Oh, that might make it better.
That was the 70s. Side two. You never heard Siberian Klar 2?
I've never heard any of this.
Hang on it. Oh, man, you just don't know
there's
what you're...
There's a reason.
You don't know. There's, for some reason, the computer seems to have crashed. I don't know what's going on there. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Good evening, Ian Lee.
Good evening, sir.
Hello there. My name's Rob. I've been a long-time listener. I'm a huge fan of yours.
That always worries me.
I finally picked up...
It always worries me when someone says they're a huge fan of mine. Well, Rob, it's nice. I'm glad you've plucked up the courage. And I'm slightly annoyed that my producer here is not digging the yes. She's saying no to yes.
It's because I'm not a 15-year-old boy.
What?
Wow. This is what I have to deal with.
That's what I'm phoning up for. Oh. I'm a massive fan of yes, and I thought it was awesome that you played a bit of progressive rock.
Yeah.
Well, you can be friends.
And, thank you. I just wanted to follow up and say how much of a big fan of progressive rock I am, and it's awesome that you're playing a bit on a bit of talk radio.
I'm completely honest with you. The only I possess the Yes album, which I've only got on vinyl, not on CD, and Close to the Edge. And I got into Close to the Edge at college, of course, because a friend of mine would just keep singing, "I get up, I get down," and I started singing that. And it was hilarious because that was all I would sing. And after about 2 months of me singing that, my friend said, "You know that that song is 18 and a half minutes long." I was like, "Whoa, no way." He said, "Yeah, let's go and listen to it." And we entered a magic kingdom and we listened to it and it blew my tiny freaking mind.
There's nothing wrong with a song that's 18 minutes long as long as it's a good song.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a fan of Genesis at all? Early Genesis?
Well, this is the thing, right? Bob Mortimer, his favourite album of all time is Lamb... Was it Lamb Lies Down on Broadway by Genesis?
It's one of their albums, yeah.
That's his favourite. And now I trust Bob. I've got a lot of respect for Bob. I've not listened to it because I'm scared I'll get sucked in. Catherine?
I got force-fed that as a kid, all that stuff, which is probably why I was so worried about that you just did to me there.
You can pick your nose if you want.
I'm not. I'm scratching it.
Well, don't be embarrassed. If you want to pick it, pick it. Can I have an out time, please, Ian?
That's shame in picking.
No.
I
don't pick in front of anyone else.
There we go. Why are you?
Periscope, Cat.
Oh, he's calling you cat. He's getting familiar.
Sorry.
No, hey, don't apologise. It shows you take your shoes off, mate. Come on, sit down, relax, loosen your belt.
I feel like I know you guys. I've been watching you on Periscope the last few weeks. I've been following you, Ian, for about, well, since the beginning, really. LBC days. I think that was the beginning.
Well, there was XFM before that.
He doesn't count that.
You don't need to count.
I've got
that.
The podcast on YouTube that I listen to, so yeah, I'm going back a little bit now. But yeah, I've been a massive fan of yours for many years. So I feel like I know you guys. It's awesome.
Well, in many ways, you do know us, guys. In many ways, you do.
Can I ask you a quick question, Ian?
Before of course you can.
I bottled this phone call and never call you again.
Yeah, don't you worry about that, Philly. You're doing great. Yeah, of course. Go on.
Who is your favourite drummer of all time? And please don't say Ringo Starr.
Because
he's a good drummer, but it's too obvious.
Okay, who is my favourite? It's not Keith Moon, because I bet Keith Moon was a right pain in the backside. I bet he was really...
Not the most technical drummer.
No, I don't... But just all that running around driving Rolls Royces into swimming pools and drugs and chucking TVs out of windows. I hated all of that. Absolutely would have hated it. Who is my favourite drummer? Well, I suppose I'm not allowed to say Mickey Dolenz, am I?
Well, the Monkees are OK. Well, yes.
Gene Krupa!
Gene Krupa.
Let's get with it. Gene Krupa, yeah.
Good choice.
He's good. I like the one where he's walking around in a basement and he's playing drums and all the pipes and stuff. I like that.
Oh, that's cool. What about Buddy Rich, though? Same sort of era?
Man Alive, yeah. Which is the one I've got... Which one of them have I got a bootleg recording of them rollicking their band on a tour bus? I think it's Buddy Rich.
Oh, that's right, Buddy Rich, yes. He had a right go at his fellow bandmates, giving them all the grief in the world.
It's a great bootleg. Hey, listen, we've got to end the show. Thank you so much for calling, man.
Thank you, Ian.
Tatty bye. Check out Buddy Rich rollicking his great bootlegs of our time, and maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow. Buddy Rich telling off his bandmates on a bus, and, of course, the Trogs. You've heard the Trogs tape, haven't you?
No.
You've never heard the Trogs tape?
No, what?
It goes ba-da-da, ba-da-da, ba-da-da! I'll play you that tomorrow. Right, we're done with this. Ta-ta, bye-bye. The letters of children, corruptors of youth. Is there in the paper, it must be the truth. Try and sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. That if you're discreet, you're perfectly safe as you walk down the street. You don't have to mince or make bitchy remarks to get beaten unconscious and left in the dark. I had a friend who was gentle and short. He was lonely one evening, he went for a walk. Queer bashers caught him, kicked in his teeth. Was only hospitalized for a week, and he still bears the scars. Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. And sit back and watch as they close down our clubs. Arrest us for meeting and raid on our pubs. Make sure your boyfriend's at least 21. So only your friends and your brothers get done. Lie to your workmates, lie to your folks. Put down the Queen's, tell anti-queer jokes. Gay lives ridiculous, join their laughter. The buggers are legal now. What more are they after? Tell them. Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy this way.
Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.